Y'all, hey, what's going on out there? How y'all doing today? That's right, it's hump day. What day is hump day. That's right, y'all, it's Wednesday. Oh, the first week of the new year. Now I'm telling you, we blessed to be here, that's for sure, that's for sure. So nobody should be grumpy today, because that's my theme song say now. Just be happy. Hey, go through this year happy, man. Yeah, you'd be surprised at what doors open for you. Huh? That's what I'm talking about right about now. Oh, my goodness, my goodness. Now, I'm telling you, man, it's a beautiful day to be alive. That's for sure. All right, y'all. Hello. Welcome to Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk. And it's a beautiful day, man. I'm feeling great. I got so much energy and so much love in me, man. I'm telling you, it's great to be in love. You know that? Nah, that's all I'm saying. Anyway, check this out, man. If you want to be a part of the show, participate or whatever, just you can join me in the chat room. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. Or if you want to be live on the air, that's no problem. Just join us, 347-838-8622. Email me at ericlesstalk@gmail.com. Or stop by my Facebook page, Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at facebook.com. Those are all the ways you can get in, put, maybe a part of the show. Get in contact with me. And if you want to read live on the air, I got you. I got you. Now, today's show is the Machiavelli Syndrome. I know some people are like, the Machiavelli Syndrome? What's that? I know, right? Because I said it after I did it, like, what is that? How am I going to get this going today? But I done figured it out. You know, we're going to talk about those individuals that supposedly have faked their death just to come back at a later time. I haven't seen any of them. And for those out there that think Elvis is still around, he's about one old behind person, so he should be dead if he's not already. All right, all right. I know, I'm tripping, right? All right, well, before we bring my great co-host in, I want to say Antoinette Gathet, Galactic Scientist, and guest 9, welcome to the show. I'm telling you, wow. Now, this lady right here I'm about to bring to the air, man, I'm telling you, she's energetic, intelligent, so beautiful, and just it gets better day by day by day. I'm telling you, man, it's a wonderful thing. It really is. And well, then I'm glad to have her as my co-host on this show, because she brings so much diversity to the show. You know, so without further ado, man, let's show some love for my co-host, Sister Ngoni. I love it when a plan comes together. What's up, Sister Ngoni? How you doing today?
Good, and you, Mr. Talk?
I am wonderful.
I am wonderful.
Of course. I told you, like my theme song say, I'm just happy. You know, I'm just happy. I'm going to stay that way all year if I can.
Well, how about all your life?
Well, yeah, that too. But, you know, you know, if I say every day, then that includes my whole life. Think about it.
Okay.
You have to take it day by day.
Well, I want to give a shout-out to Antoinette, Galactic Science, and guest 1889.
That's right. And see, everybody's in there. Everybody who's on the switchboard, welcome to the show. You know, I'm glad to see y'all here. And it's going to be a wonderful show, man. I'm really telling you. You know, it's going to be beautiful. Man, I'm telling you, you just can't help but be happy, you know. Just to wake up in the morning time and know that you're breathing and you're well. You know, it's a beautiful thing. You can't help but be happy. You ought to get up and say thank you to whoever you worship because it's a great thing. All right. I'm going to get off that soapbox, but I'm just saying.
But you're right. No, it is. It's, you know, to be grateful every day for another day of life, even though it's crazy sometimes, but still, it's better than the alternative now, isn't it?
You're right. And, you know, and you should give a special thank you if you have that special someone in your life, you know, that's just there for you no matter what. You know, I mean, it's hard to find somebody like that that's down with you, as song you say, down for whatever. Hey, that's what you need sometimes. And it's a beautiful thing. Oh, okay. All right. Like I said, I'm going to get off that soapbox.
Poor thing, you just. Love.
Oh, Lord. I want to say shout out to Boo One. Welcome back. I'm glad to see you. Happy New Year's to you because we got enjoying life just joining us also. So it's a great day. Great day. All right. So without further ado, we're going to go ahead and get started with the show for the most part because I know some people just joined to hear the music. And of course, y'all, Wednesday, we haven't stopped anything. Wednesday is still Jazz Day. And, you know, my music coordinator, hey, they did a great job. They did a great job on it. I'm telling you, it's just whoo-hoo-hoo. Yeah, I get to preview some of it, but I really enjoyed it, and I hope y'all do too. So without further ado, we're going to go ahead and get the song of the day out of the way. And it's a nice mix, and I hope y'all enjoy it. So without further ado, here it is, y'all, your Wednesday Jazz Mix.
After all, help me lose my soul in your song. And I get a feeling that I've seen the last of you. Rio de Janeiro blues. Rio de Janeiro.
Tell you, it got to get at a standing ovation, man. That is, oh man, that was smooth, wasn't it? I'm telling you, I can't help but give that some dang go on a standing applause. Woo-hoo! Wow, I'm telling you, but it was a good. I think that was a very good choice to get an old music, a music coordinator. I'm telling you,
excellent.
I'm telling you. Excellent.
Second emotion and want to thank Ms. Music Coordinator.
Outstanding. All right. All right, y'all. So we got the music out of the way. Now you should be set. You should be ready now. You're relaxed and we ready to get busy. Now, before we do it, of course, y'all know what's coming next, don't you? Y'all know We got the quote of the day with our co-host, the wonderful, magnificent, beautiful Sister Ngoni. Take it away.
In light of the topic for today, I chose a quote that says, my mama always used to tell me, if you can't find something to live for, you best find something to die for. That's by Tupac Shakur.
Get out of here. Get out of here.
Absolutely. By Tupac Shakur. It's on Brainy Quotes.
Oh, man, that's what I'm talking about right there. A quote from the Tupac Shakur. That's what I'm talking about right there. I hope everybody got that, right? I know y'all did. Because, you know, actually, the Tupac is kind of going to be the main figure in this Machiavelli syndrome that we're going to be talking about today. But we get to that in a minute. Thank you, co-host. That was a great quote. That really was. You know, whew, Lord, that is great. You know, but that kind of goes back to the civil rights era also. You know what I mean? Hey, that, they found something to die for, to fight for, to die for. So, I mean, that's the way I'm just putting it out there like that. I may be stretching it a little bit, but that's the way I'm thinking.
I hear you, Eric. You know, we can stretch.
We can stretch. Okay. We can stretch a little bit. All right. Now, before we get into our Machiavelli, our main topic, there's something else I want to talk about, and it kind of goes with what we were talking about yesterday when we came. We were talking about being brain dead and should they pull the plug. Well, I was reading the New York Times, you know, earlier this morning, and I found this article, and basically it was about a 33-year-old woman in Fort Worth, Texas, who was brain dead after collapsing on her kitchen floor, okay, in November, because blood clot in her lungs. Now, here's the thing: her parents and her husband are prepared to say the final goodbyes, you know, to her in intensive care, and to honor her wish of not to be left on life support. The only problem with that was the doctors told them the hospital was not going to comply with their instructions because Ms. Munoz was 14 weeks pregnant.
Ooh.
And, So now, you know, there's this big controversy of whether, you know, they should honor the woman's wish as in to pull the plug. However, Texas is one of those states that have certain laws against that. And the law says that a person may not withdraw or withhold life-sustaining treatment from a pregnant patient. So, and that's the law that the doctors are going by now. However, some say the doctors have misinterpreted that law. So I'm asking y'all out there, what should be done in this case? I mean, you know, the baby is not of age to where they can do a cesarean and go on and take the baby out, because granted, it's way too premature. So what should be done in this case? You know, that's the question I'm asking right now. And don't forget, the mother is brain dead, and the family is ready to say, okay, let's pull it and you know, start the grieving process. But doctors are saying, no, according to Texas law, that's not going to happen until the baby is of age to where, you know, it can be delivered. So what do you think about that, Coles?
Well, that's a tough one, Eric. My goodness. The first thing that comes to my mind is that the state is always taking power away from individuals to make decisions. And I guess I'm leaning towards the family being able to decide, you know. Yeah, that's where I stand. I think the family has a right to make that choice.
Mm.
I do.
Oh.
I think
okay.
Interferes too much in people's business.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. So if that's the case, then, you know, then it gets into the argument of, you know, is the what did you say?
The 14 fetus.
Weeks? Is the fetus an actual person right now, and you're saving life, or you know, and I mean, this gets into so many different areas when it comes to this specific case right here, because you're going to have the pro-life against the abortion individuals. And then, of course, you have the ones, like you just said, the state, you know, shouldn't do that if the family is wishing to go ahead and pull the plug. So it's a lot of issues. And I got somebody with their hand up. So let me bring them in so and see what they think about this. But that is an interesting thing to think about. See,
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Eric.
No, I was going to say, and the interesting part is, even if you have a do not resuscitate order in or specific instructions as to what you need to happen, that gives the doctors in the state the authority to overrule what you and your family wish. And I'm kind of like you.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. You cut out on me. What'd you say?
And that's where I think the state is just going too far, because even though when you consider, you know, the question of whether the fetus, when is a fetus considered, you know, individual or, you know, mm-hmm. person, that question hasn't been answered by science yet. Therefore, to me, the state doesn't have a right to supersede the wishes of the family, regardless of, you know, what the moral issues are. I think it still rests with the family. That's what I think.
Okay. All right.
What do you think?
Oh, I think, you know, it's hard. It's really hard, you know, because I'm kind of like, well, you know, she is pregnant, you know, but the child is only like, you know, I can see. I'm glad they're killing the baby, but in this instance, if they're going against what the family is wishing, then I don't know. I kind of have to side with the family a little bit on this one. You know,
mm-hmm.
Hey, it's time now.
Use the term baby, and you use the mm-hmm. term what else? Say that you said child and baby.
Child, right, right.
And
so
see, now that question has not been decided. I mean, I know from probably a religious perspective or even a moral perspective that once that fetus, you know, that seed has been fertilized, some people may take the position that that's a new life coming to be and that, you know, it should have a right to come. Well, I don't know. I'm not going to say yay or nay on that, but I'm still sticking to the state, to me, doesn't have a right to supersede the wishes of the family.
Okay. Well, the family basically is saying the only thing she is now is a host for a fetus, you know, so, and then, you know, and they really have a problem with that. But let me bring this call in. They've been waiting patiently since we came on the air. So let me bring them in and so we can get their comment, their view on this, because it's
mm-hmm.
really an interesting case. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Hello. Who I have here? Mr. Beasley.
No.
Oh, this is Joe. Okay.
Hey.
Hey,
hello.
Joe.
Hey, now, you said you were going to introduce somebody who was beautiful and intelligent. Now, who's that going to be?
Oh, whatever, Joe.
On today.
Whatever. Behave today.
Well, in terms of this particular case, I would have to side with the doctors, because if I'm a doctor and the state tells me that I can't do it, and if I do do it, I'm going to be sued by, if not this this family, I'll be sued somewhere down the line by some family. So I'm going to have to conform with what the state tells me, because I don't want my ass in jail.
Okay. But, Joe, okay, so you signed with the state. So the question is, when does...
I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying I don't want to go to jail.
Oh, so you're thinking on the financial end of it. You're not thinking on any type of moral basis or anything like that. You're thinking
about... I don't have a choice. That's why the doctors aren't doing it. According to... I don't know anything about this case except for what you've said. And from what you're telling me, the doctors, they have... There's a law in place that says they cannot remove life support from a patient that's pregnant. So the woman's pregnant. She's on life support. The doctors don't have a choice.
Okay. Joe,
that's just kind of a matter of fact. You think the state should have that power, Joe?
No.
I agree.
You agree? Okay. So, Joe, let's say if they actually did have their right to say, okay, the family said, okay, go ahead. Do you think the life support should be removed, knowing that she's now, what, 20 weeks pregnant?
Yeah, and it's up to the parents. And the parents, if the state didn't have that particular law, so if we take the law out of it, now it's up to the parents. Now it's the choice between the parents and the doctors. Now, if the doctors tell them you shouldn't do it because of the fetus, then it becomes a debate between pro-lifers, abortionists, and all that kind of good shit. But since the law is in place, I would conform to the law. But if you take the law out of it, I would leave it up to the parents.
Well, I know you don't want me to go here, Joe, probably Eric either, but it's really not a law. It's a statute. And they wouldn't have jurisdiction if we weren't considered chattel by the state. See, that's the problem. If we were considered, you know, living in a condition where we were not under contract with the state, then they wouldn't be able to make that decision. That's what's giving them the right to make the decision, because they wouldn't have jurisdiction.
Well, the state will take jurisdiction no matter what, depending, because if you're talking about everybody and everything is a corporation, and as such they're going to lay down statutes and ordinances and laws and rules and regulations, then they'll do whatever they want.
But you're misunderstanding what I said.
No, you said statute. But
law, positive law, and statutes. Statutes are rules and regulations that are governing corporations and employees that work for corporations. But see, if we weren't subject to the corporate adhesion contracts that we are, like licenses and that kind of thing, then they wouldn't have jurisdiction to make that decision. In other words, if we were still under the Republic and not under the U.S. corporation, then the state wouldn't have the jurisdiction to make this decision. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Okay.
But they shouldn't have the jurisdiction. Anyway, but a statute is now, since you're bringing in the fact that it's a statute and not a law, then it's going to make it even stickier. Because a statute, if it's not a law, then maybe you might be able to break it without repercussions. So now there's going to have to really need some legal representation on both sides.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, but before we go any further, you know, Texas is not the only one with a law like that. 31 other states actually have laws that, you know, require that life support measure continue to, no matter how far along the pregnancy is. So Texas is not the only one. So this is something that's been on the books for a minute. But hold on, let me bring Miss Lady in.
Hey, Eric, there's a difference between a law and a statute, because, you see, law has to go out to the people. It has to be registered, and there has to be a certain time that the public can vote yay or nay on it, and then it becomes positive law. A statute is something different. Rules and regulations, statute, because we're under public policy. We're not under laws.
Let's get away from the Ron Reck kind of stuff, okay? If they say it's a law, it's a law.
Go take a flying leap at the moon.
Yeah. Here y'all go. Well, let Miss Lady get in for a moment. I can put y'all in the green room. No, I'm joking. Hold on. Let's get Miss Lady in and see what her opinion is. Go ahead, Miss Lady. Miss Lady, are you
land
there?
Land your spaceship, Miss Lady.
Okay.
Hello, a statute is law. It's law declared by the state legislature.
But it's under public policy. Statute and law is different. It really is. Positive law, there's administrative law, contract law, there's all different laws.
There's different forms of law in different areas, but it's still legal law. I mean, it's still law.
But legal and lawful is two different things.
Let's not go there with the splitting of the hairs. Is this case under law?
Are you trying to tell me what to talk about, Joe?
Now, hold on. If you're going to say it's a statute and Eric is saying it's a law, we got to make the distinction. You can't just say it's a statute.
I have legal background. A statute is law. It's not common law. It's not natural law, but it is law. It is law passed by your state legislature. Okay? Now, moving on to the, you know what becomes interesting is that Texas law, I wonder what it specifically states. Because I would doubt that it would say if a woman is 2 weeks pregnant that they couldn't move life support. There has to be some kind of gestational period. At some point, they said that they can't remove life support. Do you know what I'm saying? So if a woman is pregnant for, you know, known to be pregnant for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, it may be different for in terms of terminating pregnancy if she's framed it versus being, you know, 3 months, 4 months on out. So it'd be interesting to know specifically what the law states. But given that, and that's an interesting, you know, discussion whether, you know, how many, I don't know how many weeks pregnant she is, but,
20 weeks.
You know,
20
whether,
weeks.
So she's 4 months. So that's far out. The baby is definitely being formed. It has arms, legs, and they say that babies can feel emotion. They can feel pain. So it's different from being a 4 month fetus from being a 2 week fetus.
Well, it's 5 months.
The third thing is, I'm thinking, who's going to raise the baby? So the mother's basically an incubator. That's what she is. She's, you know, she's an incubator, and she's a brain dead incubator. So I wonder who's going to take care of the baby. Say, you know, because a lot of these pro-lifers, they are pro-life, but they're not pro-human, caring for humans. So who's there to go? If everything happens and they're able to take the baby out by C-section and the baby survives, there's a higher likelihood the baby's going to have all kind of medical problems. Do you know what I'm saying? So who's going to care for this child?
Well, presumably it would be
delayed problems, disabilities.
Yeah, but presumably it would be the parents.
Yeah, but I mean, because she has a husband. She
oh,
has
she does.
A husband.
Okay.
Yeah, she has a husband. So, I mean, and he's with the rest of the family, you know.
He may not have the finances and the fortitude to care for a potentially very disabled child who grows up to be a developmentally delayed disabled adult.
But to see that okay, I get your point, but that is a what if. But right now we're talking about what is.
I know, but you know, it's just an interesting kind of like extension of just looking at it from just a practical manner. Because, you know, the state ain't going to want to take care of it.
No, the state just might.
Well,
now
yeah, I mean, really, it's the state that's keeping the child alive. So, I mean,
You know, the state, hey, you send your kid to juvenile hall because you can't take care of him no more because he's crazy. They still going to take your paycheck. Now they do. So, you know, it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, is there any more to this, Eric, that you haven't read?
No, that was the gist of it right there. That was basically the gist of it. And you know, it's, you know, basically it's one of those things where it's the family against the law. You know, the family wants it, you know, gone. I mean, you know, wants her taken off life support. But, you know, it's one of those things where the doctors are going, you know, against the Texas law. So, I mean, you know, going with the law.
No, the doctors, no, I mean, lady, the doctors are in conformity with it.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, you know, some some of them are saying that, you know, they do believe that the doctors have misinterpreted the law a little bit, and from what they say, the law says it is kind of vague, as in
it
to exactly, huh?
It doesn't seem that vague from the way that you read it.
It says states that a person may not withdraw or withhold
right.
life-sustaining treatment from a pregnant patient. So it doesn't give it don't give a specific period of time as to, you know, how old the child is or the fetus is.
No, it doesn't talk about that. It says it may not withhold life-sustaining treatment. So that means if that woman is on life support, that's life-sustaining treatment. They cannot withhold it.
You should not have passed that. That was a very poorly written statute. And so, you know, Texas is a pro-life state.
Well, I mean, there's 31 other states with similar laws, though, Miss Lady. The Texas is not the only one.
It's not going to be probably stated just, I don't really like to read the law, really, to be really clear what it really says. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Well, hold on. Let me bring Mr. Lowe in and see what his topic, his take is on.
Well, let me guess what it might be. Well, are there white doctors involved? Are they atheists? Or are they, have they got the truth yet?
Well, welcome to the show, Mr. Lowe.
Hello.
Sean.
Yeah, I didn't want to do that today. I didn't want to do that. But he, as tacky as he is, he can't help himself. Well, like I said yesterday, I understand that somebody's life is at stake here, but if one of my loved ones or one is attached to a machine in order for them to be considered alive, I wouldn't want that. And when you go into talking about Mr. Talk, coming into Mr. Lowe's house and saying, well, hey, I don't think that's right. I think you should do this or that. One thing that you can always say is, okay, well, we can do this, and if it's possible, you can take on all of my emotions that I'm feeling right now and the burden that's going to come if this person does slip or die with the money that's going to have to still be paid out for all of this. You know, hey, if I'm going to make $8,000 a day by taking somebody from a hospital and putting them up in a hospital or something, and I'm going to make $8,000 a day regardless. Hey, I don't have a problem with that. Would any of you?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a moral issue. I mean, it doesn't mean that the doctors really don't want to give the power to the parents or to the husband, but they're liable for this.
Uh-huh.
So
another thing that's interesting, do they have... abortion must be permitted in Texas up to so many weeks. So, basically, if they remove the woman from life support, they're basically aborting the fetus. So, it would be interesting to know what the cutoff for abortions is. It might be 40 weeks in Texas.
Mm.
So, if she was only, like, 2 months, could they... say, you know, abortion is legal, and do the parents have the right or the husband have a right to say, I want my wife to have an abortion? I'm substituting for her ability to give permission, but as her spouse,
let's check this out. They have already given permission to take her off the life support. So basically they're saying, basically they are trying to say go ahead and abort the baby. But the doctors are not going to do it because of the law that they are stuck with. So,
very poorly written law, very poorly written. And
I would agree with that.
Yeah, very poorly written. They should have been more specific.
Lady, did you say 4 weeks or 40 weeks?
40.
4 weeks.
40 weeks.
20 weeks. 4 months.
Yeah.
Okay,
4 weeks.
Okay, hold on for a minute. A Supreme Cookie in the chat room put it, 1999 Texas Advanced Directives Act requires an expectant mother to be kept alive until her fetus is delivered. So, you know, now whether they can deliver it as a preemie, it doesn't say, but it says until her fetus is delivered. So I guess it's up to the doctor's discretion. Huh?
I don't have a problem with that. But as far as, you know, what we were talking about yesterday, you know, somebody that was not pregnant or whatever, or it didn't have anything to do with anyone else's life, you know, I don't have any problem with holding that woman alive until her baby is born. This is something that all people should talk about. I know people don't like to talk about death and being incapacitated to the point where they can't, you know,
make decisions for themselves.
Whatever. I mean, if something happens, and you know, we talked about this at my house. I already said, hey, you know, don't keep me alive on any machines or whatever.
I hear you. Me neither.
If I'm gonna be a burden for somebody else, then hey, you know, I don't want that. And we both agreed to that. And so, you know, it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks or how they feel. So I think that's something that all people should talk to, even single people that have next of kin that doesn't live in the same state with them, you know.
I did that.
Because you wouldn't want somebody that doesn't know anything about you to take on your family and say, well, I don't think he would want this and this, you know.
Right.
I wouldn't want that, man. You know, and we also have to talk about the cost of this thing, too, because that's a lot of money to keep somebody alive.
Well, see. Now, once again, that's another issue all in itself. So who's paying for her? Then the family say, take off, and the doctors are saying, no, we can't because of the law. So who's going to pay the final bill? I mean, that's another aspect that, you know, which probably falls into this. Regardless, should her insurance be required to pay it if the state is the one saying we got to keep her on life support?
Right.
Well, you know, if she has
and that becomes a whole other issue.
But I don't know if it's going to pay for all of that care. It might be a cap on it. I don't know.
What I do know is that you're in the kitchen, lady, and you're making toast.
Well, I am. And then, you know what, if it's a cap, and then who's going to be liable for the rest of that hospital bill, both the mothers and the babies?
That's right. They got a lot of issues in this case, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
well, I hate to say it like this, but for me to have not been in that room when she got pregnant, I don't feel responsible for any of that bill.
What?
Damn. I wasn't in there. I don't have anything to do with that.
Lord have mercy.
Hey,
well, we pay for a lot of stuff we ain't had nothing to do with.
Always do. Well, again, it is part of the problem. I mean, it isn't just cut and dry as some people would make it out to be, you know.
Right. Mm-hmm. Not everybody lives to be a ripe old age, and the whole family's around, and they're about to fade on off at 97. Not everybody makes it to that. So, you know, every situation is different. You know, that's the way I see it. I mean, that would be perfect. But
and people don't really talk about stuff like this until it's too late.
Right.
Exactly.
You got
a 27-year-old. It's another thing that takes, you know, the wishes of what would she want, you know?
I think they should have talked about.
Yeah, I mean, if it's not something that's predetermined, then really her wishes are null and void right now.
That's not necessarily true.
But Miss Lady, she's brain dead.
Not.
She's brain dead, so she really can't say anything.
But with a law. In legal cases, where it's important, that's a very important question. And that would be something that they could, if it goes to court, would bring up, just like any wills and trust issue.
And what they would probably say was that her wishes, if they're not written down on paper,
I'm talking about. No, you can. It don't have to be necessary. They have to be written on paper.
I got that. What I'm saying is, if it's not written down, then they would probably say that the husband would then have the right to determine by extrapolating from conversations they've had before, even if they weren't talking directly about this, what her wishes
right.
might be. Yeah.
And her husband or other people, even. I mean, that could be testimony. I know what I'm talking about.
Well, you always do, lady.
I'm just
telling you the facts that's being presented. Okay, the family
right.
is saying she did not want to be left on life support. But the doctors are going by the law and saying we can't take her off life support as long as she's pregnant.
Lady, hurry up with
like
that post, will you?
Now I'm going through paperwork. But listen, I would like to really read the statute.
Okay, just go to
state.
Don't go to state. Huh? No,
I mean,
a lot of them are similar, you know,
pretty much.
But they have the right to be different if they want to. Of course.
Right. Of course. Okay. But I got somebody else with their hands up, so let me bring them in. Let's see, area code 561. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. I just wanted to say hello to everybody. It's Elvira.
How you doing, Miss Elvira?
Oh, I'm hanging in there. Just wanted to jump in, say hello, and let Mr. Talk know I'm happy that he's back.
Oh, yeah. He's back.
Yeah,
yes.
Why, thank you.
It's been a long time. Like.
Yeah, it seemed like a long time. You're right, but I'm glad to be back. And I'm glad all y'all are still here to be here with me. That's for sure.
Thank you.
All right. So have you been listening? Do you have any about what we're talking about?
Well, I just tuned in, so I didn't really get the chance to hear the conversation.
Oh, okay.
Trying to put a burger in the oven. Can't even think.
Oh, okay.
Meatloaf.
Well,
still for the husband. That's wow. You know, it'd be interesting to know his family situation. Do they have other children he has to care for? What kind of job? Does he have a job? You know, that's a really a hard one.
Well, I mean, it
does.
Does
he have support systems around him? I mean, because it's a real likelihood that baby's going to need a lot of care. Because they're going to do it by C-section when they determine the baby's able to live outside of the uterus.
Okay. Well, you know, that once again, that's a whole different issue. Because do they deliver the child as a preemie? Or do they let it stay to the full term and then do a C-section and deliver it that way?
Because that's too much money to keep her up there like that, and they're going to do it when they determine the baby can live without probably having, you know, being able to sustain life.
Without being tied with the umbilical cord, yeah.
Okay. Well, my great co-host says that the main issue she has with it is that the state is taking authority in the situation, and the state shouldn't do that. Did I say that right, Sister Ngoni?
Yeah, that was my position. And according to what I read, not to beat a dead horse, the courts can review statutes, and if they are not in line with the Constitution, then that means that they can supersede that and make a new law and to challenge whatever the statute is.
Yeah, it can be viewed as unconstitutional. Or,
I'm sorry?
You know, the statute can be written as, I mean, it can be ruled an unconstitutional statute, so it probably will go to court. And it can be viewed as so poorly written and so vague that it's really,
Exactly. That was my point earlier when I said statutes are not necessarily laws because they can be in violation of the Constitution.
Well, there's still
laws.
Viewed
by the court.
I mean, slavery, having slaves, you know, they made that a law, but, you know, not harboring them, but that didn't mean that it was a good law. There's all kinds of poorly written laws, like this one, for instance.
I'll leave it at that.
You leave it at that.
Laws
don't leave it at that.
Laws are overturned.
I'll leave it at that.
I just
laws
put it in the chat. Somebody else may have it.
Because
that they're just so bad and they're unconstitutional. So they're overturned. But
it's unconstitutional. It's not law, sis.
No,
anything that's unconstitutional is considered not a law.
I don't know what you're talking about.
She's talking about the mindset of sovereignty versus what's coming down by the courts.
Oh, please do not speak for me about my mindset because you don't know what it is.
Okay.
Please.
All right, Langoni. What is it?
I don't care to answer you.
Oh, okay. Of course not. No. Hey.
I love y'all. I really do.
Pretty give me what I think your mindset is.
But, you know, sometimes they're poorly written on purpose, and they pass them. And then, you know, those legislative people, they have so much on their table. You know how like they talk about all the time? Oh, they passed, and they hadn't even read, you know, half of the, the writing, but they just signed it and passed it on.
96% of them don't read what they pass.
Yeah, so they didn't read it, or they knew that it was so poorly written and vague, and... they figured, it is what it is.
They couldn't have written
it. We're pro-lifers, and so they're going to have that baby. We don't care if they are brain dead. Keep them alive.
Wow. That's interesting.
Somebody can challenge that in court, though.
You think they would even be taken, make it that far?
They can take it that far.
That's all I'm saying.
Family can, of course they can challenge it. Because if the family says, I want them off life support, or I want her off life support, the doctor's saying we're not taking them off life support. They have no choice but to go to court.
And then, too, if you can have an abortion up to X amount of weeks and she's less than those weeks, then that's another argument that the family can
Wow.
You can't advance in court.
All right. Very interesting. You know, I just thought that was an interesting case, being that we did talk about, being brain dead yesterday, and, you know, this was like a different twist to it, you know, with her being pregnant and the state saying we're not taking off life support and the family wants off life support. That's what we're talking about right now. So if anybody want to join in the conversation, just give us a call, 347-838-8622. Email me, ericletstalk@gmail.com, or join us in the chat room at www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. And let us know what you think about it. It's just a very interesting case. It really was. It really is. And I'm not going to say what.
Anybody moving
still
to
ongoing.
Texas?
Say what?
Anybody moving to Texas?
Okay, that's a loaded question. Okay, why?
Why? Why? Are you moving to Texas?
No, but I heard a lot of people are, though, because there's a lot of work, supposedly.
Okay. If you're in IT. But anyway, that's a whole other issue.
Oh, if you're in IT, okay.
Yeah. Anyway, so... That is what that case was. I just thought I'd put it out there as an icebreaker.
What does it say in the article? Does it say it's a law or statute?
It says it's a law.
A law.
It actually
okay.
says it's a law. Yeah. Yeah, that it does. You can go to New York Times, Joe, and look it up. You know, it's in there.
Okay.
All right. So... I guess we need to get on with the main topic of the day, huh? The Machiavelli syndrome. I don't know why I call it a syndrome, though.
What's the Machiavelli syndrome?
Machiavelli.
Machiavelli. Machiavelli.
They used to call him Mac. He's macking. What is that?
No,
mean?
That's not talking about somebody.
No, we ain't talking about no Mac. Oh, Lord have mercy.
Who knows? Maybe that's where, you know what, though? That may be where it came from. Who knows?
Well, no, I don't think so. Because Mr. Machiavelli, you know, he's the one who supposedly faked his death, and, you know, for about 18 years and then came back to, you know, start all over, what have you. And
oh, good for him.
Okay.
I'm sure a lot of people would love to be able to do that.
Well, I mean, apparently they're saying a lot of people are doing that. I know the main case is those, you know, the Tupac believers. You know, they're saying that's what's going on with Tupac, and he'll be back in sometime this year. In fact,
ooh,
I don't know how.
I've been waiting to hold my breath. Mm-hmm.
So my question is that really possible? You think anybody can really do that and be successful at it?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
You do? Why?
Yeah. Well, for one thing, the dictators have been doing that for a while. They wouldn't forget. Who was it just recently? Oh, yeah, Nelson Mandela. The rumor.
Oh, he faked his death? At 80, 90, whatever?
No, not that he faked it. It's that his family knew that he had died like either 6 months ago or something like that. But they kept him alive in the public image so that they could, I guess, you know, rearrange his legacy, I suppose. Who knows? But if you're rich enough, and I'm sure if you want, like Michael Jackson, there's a lot of people who say Michael Jackson might still be alive. I think if you wanted to, if you really wanted to pay off the coroner, you could probably do it.
Mm-hmm.
I think money can do just about anything that you wanted to.
There was a rumor also that Ken Lay that was affiliated with the Enron scandal.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Faked his death. They say he's down somewhere in the Caribbean.
Hmm.
Oh, he supposedly died? I didn't know he had supposedly died. Really?
Well, that's what I'm reading.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right. Interesting, huh? Hold on. Let me bring a new call in and see what they have to say about this issue. Let's see. Area 925, welcome to the show. Who do I have here?
Hey, good afternoon.
Well, hello, Mr. Beasley.
I guess my number's appearing. I'm Mad Sister Ngonya just stole my thunder. That's what I was calling in to mention Ken Lay. That's somebody from Enron that I believe is some monkey business there.
I do too, Mr. Beasley.
He gets first off, you know, he's deeply involved with the Bush family. Mm-hmm. The debacle goes down at Enron. Bush didn't step in to help him at all. He gets convicted. Before he's to go to jail, he dies, which throws his conviction out. It throws his conviction out, which means none of his assets were touched, and he disappears. Or everyone else is dead. Michael Jackson's dead. Tupac's dead. All these other people are really dead. But I really suspect that one. That it just seems like it's just too perfect.
Uh-huh.
And he fits Joe's criteria, and he had more than enough money and more than enough power behind him to pull something like that off.
Oh, yeah. He used to go to the Bush's summer home, I think, and stuff like that. He was one of the major donors and stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Beasley.
No, I just said, one of the reasons why the Bushes have been so successful politically is because they're loyal and take care of their people that are loyal to them. Guy donated this money. Yeah, that's one of the reasons why they've, you know, people support them. Not necessarily because of their policies, but you know they look after people, and people in turn look after them. That's how politics works.
Wow.
That's smart.
Mr. Beasley, did you mean to say that's how the mafia works?
There's similarities. I mean, you know, there's similarities with structures, protocol, and hierarchy, and the way things operate, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So
no organization or group goes too far or rises too high without, you know, personal sacrifice for the greater good than everyone else and loyalty.
You know, I saw Ronan. That movie is good. And it's exactly what it's about.
What's the name of it, Miss Lady?
Oh, it's good. It's a Japanese samurai movie. It was good.
What was the title?
Ronin 47, and it's based on a true story about 47 samurai. I don't want to give it away, but I would highly recommend it because that's exactly what it talks about. I mean, that's what the movie was about, and that's what they were about.
Is this a newer movie?
Yeah.
In the theater now. Okay. I didn't know what it was about.
It's good. It's really good. I'm like, wow. It has a lot of themes in it, you know.
Oh, by the way, Bees, did you check out that trailer for Her?
I didn't, but I'd seen it in the movies. But I'd seen it in the movies. But I didn't know that it would. But I still, even then, I didn't know that it was talking about some type. Something cosmic. I thought it was a real woman.
All right. Well, hold on. I got somebody else on the line. They want to speak. You jump on this also. So let me bring them in. All right, Erie Cole 111. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Mr. Chuck. What's up? Happy New Year to you.
Wow.
Oh, Michael, how are you?
We are, Michael.
One veteran to another veteran, Mr. Todd. Happy New Year to you, bro.
Well, thank you. Happy New Year's to you also.
Michael, you've been missing in action.
Didn't Michael come in yesterday?
No, actually, you know what? When I came in, I listened to y'all. You know what? I think sometimes it's good for me to listen on the sideline. It was real hot heated yesterday. I mean, I skimmed through the archives yesterday. It was a good show, though, yesterday, Mr. Tarp, as always.
Well, people were asking about you.
Who? Who was asking about him? Who?
Somebody mentioned Michael's name yesterday. I don't recall exactly
who it was. Hey, what's up, how you doing, Miss Lady, everyone? Yeah, Mr. Chopper, you know, Mr. Chalk, I'm going to stay on the topic. You know, Mr. Chalk, I'm going to get it here
right.
My own way. But listen, what's your beef with Tupac, Mr. Chalk? Now, see, I understand. I read your paragraph that you had, and I remember listening to your shows way, way back then, and you were upset about how they can have a hologram of Tupac Shakur and everyone believing that they should come back, and you said, well, they should have a hologram of Jesus Christ. Well, my question is, if they have a hologram, right, but if they have a hologram of Jesus Christ, we don't know what he looks like, so the hologram is going to be fake anyway.
Well, that was, you know, that was sarcastically said, Michael, but go ahead.
Well, I know that, bro. You know how it is.
but go ahead.
But it comes around to the same thing. I mean, I agree with that, but I'm just like saying, it's just like everybody having that little, how ignorant it may sound, but people can believe in Tupac coming back and that Machiavelli syndrome just like they do religious deities. And if you look at it, it's really no different. Because how many people thinking that the rapture was going to come for millions and millions of years, and it's never came?
But just hold on. Blue Beam is waiting for us.
I know. But I'm going to mute myself and listen because I know y'all going to eat me up on that one.
No.
But you want to know
Michael,
what? He's actually right. You know, something built upon a myth and some time passes. Enough time passes. Who's to know? 500,000 years from now, who might be considered, who they can create and build a huge myth upon, and you know, it could be David Koresh, it could be anybody, you know, it could be Elvis, but it could be Tupac, somebody that they create and make as a Masonic figure, or messianic, messianic figure. That's absolutely true.
Well, 100 years from now, Martin Luther King may be one. You never know.
Right, exactly.
Years from now, someone
it could be anyone.
Marcus Garvey. Right.
Well, you know, a lot of Tupac believers feel like because there was a closed casket and nobody really saw the body, and the autopsy was so called wrong, that that was just a big setup. Now, I don't know about late guy. Huh? Go ahead.
I was living during that time, as all you are, but I was involved with the music, and I read all the magazine articles, bought all the albums, read books, everything, followed this all the way through, lived in Los Angeles where people talked about him and all the things that were going on at the time, and they built him. He was larger than life when he was living, but he was also just a young man who was conflicted and caught up in the entertainment industry and got involved with the street world to enough where the street world shows you what the street world does. He's not that remarkable a person. He lived a remarkable life. He's not. He's not that. Absolutely not.
Oh, now don't talk about no Tupac now. Tupac.
I can have my opinion. I got a specialized opinion that's based on thought. That's not afraid to go against the grain. But these young people have idolized him as though he were some type of genius. You know, he may have been a musical genius, but he really was a young man in a world in over his head, and he didn't have the vision and really wasn't wise enough, okay, in controlling his emotions to navigate his way through the world that he's in, and he ended up dead. Because
like
he could
the boule.
Have made, pardon me?
Like the boule.
No, I don't know what it has anything to do with any boule.
He wasn't able to navigate. I said, like the boule, because they know how to navigate. Well, it pays
to take a step back and realize the gravity of your situation and try to work your way through it. You know, because there are killers out there. There are treacherous people.
Well, she's shot by Biggie Smalls.
And they could be right in your circle.
Right. And they're to be avoided and dealt with kid gloves when they're in your midst. So
that's right.
Okay, let me put a different twist on this. But first, Joe had a question. What's your joke? Your question, Joe?
Yeah, was he shot by Biggie Smalls or was he shot by somebody?
Shot by Orlando Anderson.
Okay,
yeah,
so that's why is that why they said they didn't have an open casket?
They didn't have an open casket because his head was about the size of a pumpkin.
Because of he was shot or because of the doctor's treatments or something like that?
His head was the size of a pumpkin.
Well, it was noted that he wanted his body cremated, all of his songs, all of his rap songs, and I even know some people. Anybody that I've known got cremated. It may have been a wake, but it was never a funeral with an open casket when they ordered to be cremated. And not
that's
just
not
his
true,
funeral,
Michael.
But,
that's not true.
Well, I'm just saying. In some cases, they'll let the family see it, but when the funeral actually happens and someone gets cremated, I'm just saying. In most cases, I can't say all, Mr. Talk. I never said that. But in most cases, here over in these parts. Because a lot of people don't have insurance and may go that route. I'm letting you know you don't see no open casket.
Okay.
The family member may see the body at a certain point in the time, and then after that, it's on the cremate. When you have a funeral, it's not nobody there.
Mm-hmm. One last thing. He often rapped about death and dying a violent death.
Right.
And murder, and kill. And that... Mm-hmm. And many rappers even said it afterwards. You know, if you rap about death, that's, you know, what you put out there is what's going to come back to you.
But really, a whole generation
that age, they said they were even telling some of those, that generation in school, that they would probably not live to be a certain age.
Yeah.
Oh,
and,
really?
Many of his followers also believe that that was just a setup for him to set up his called Machiavelli getaway.
You know what I think, Mr. Talk? These are younger people. Mm-hmm. When I say that they're younger people, I mean Tupac's been dead. What? It'd be 18 years this year. Okay, it'll be 18 years this year. So if someone's, they're 25, 26, 27, they were children when Tupac was alive. And
who is
that?
Like Mike said, though, they can lift him up and turn him into whatever they want. And I'm sure there's a market for it too.
Tupac died 18 years ago.
Yeah.
It was
holy shit.
See, now you see
September 13th,
similarity.
1996. He died on Friday.
Let me bring another call in. Let me bring Erica in. Hello, Erica. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
A new caller. Greetings.
Greetings. Yes, I have a question for the gentleman that was saying that it's the 25-year-old group that's hyping up Tupac.
I'm guessing, but go ahead.
Okay, let it be known I am a Tupac fan, and I am much older than 25. Now, anyone that was age 25 wouldn't know anything about Tupac at this time. So why not have a better setup where people that were in his time frame that knows about him may have forgotten, don't think anything else about it, and then you have those younger kids that don't know anything about him. Why would this not be the best time to come back if this Machiavelli case is true?
I didn't really understand what you asked.
Okay.
Yeah, let her ask what she asked again, and you could take the question because I'm.
That it's a bunch of 25-year-olds that's hyping Tupac up,
but
they didn't know anything about
him. Maybe that are believing this. Well, you couldn't.
I didn't get to ask my question.
I know. I'm trying to understand your question. Go ahead.
Okay, so you're saying it is 25-year-olds that's hyping up this Tupac thing, but
or believing
18 years ago, they didn't know anything about Tupac. So why wouldn't this be a good time, if this is true, for him to come back when the 25-year-olds now didn't know anything about him 18 years ago?
I'm not understanding what you're asking me.
Can somebody else
I think I understand. Believe it or not, BZ, I understand what she's saying.
I know you probably do.
She's talking riddles just like you. BZ just threw a haymaker at me, but I'm going to let him go. This is a new year.
That's a joke.
But anyway.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead, Michael.
But BZ, what she's trying to say, BZ, is since that both generations, for me, I'm almost 40, and she's talking about me, so she has to be around my same age, because I was a fan of Tupac growing up.
I'm a fan,
too. 40 years of age. Well, 50 or no, whatever. Those generations, and now the younger generations, is catching and thinking about him. Since he has that group of people, which is a lot of people, this would be a perfect time for him to come back now. That's what her concept is. She's saying, why wouldn't it be? Because now he has two different generations, so to speak. Am I conveying that correctly, man? She was saying
that the 25-year-olds, they were 7 when he died, so now they're 25. So if he came back, the 25-year-olds.
All right, I get it. I got you.
All
right. But see, bullets kill. And people get away with murder. Unfortunately, they just got away, and their murders are just like millions of hundreds of thousands of black children in the ghettos throughout the 30-year span of this drug culture that we have in our society. There's a lot of people walking around with murder. Right, so what I'm just saying, when people get shot with guns and bullets, you're going to have to say the doctors are lying. The people that were in the raid room, you're going to have to say a lot of people were lying. If he does come back, his ass going to jail.
Okay, so
explain to me the laws
of physics, how 12 bullets can only hit one person and there were two people in the car.
Oh, there's all kinds of, you know.
What are you talking about?
You're thinking that he's possibly alive and might come back?
Lady, you don't know how loud you are. I'm not talking about Erica. Miss Lady, what are you doing?
Crunching cans. Like she's chewing aluminum cans.
Don't worry, I muted her. Go ahead.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so like I said, explain to me the laws of physics, how 12 bullets can only hit one person. Well, I take that back. How only two bullets can hit one person. There were two people in the car, but 12 bullets were shot.
Good catch.
Well, you know about physics.
Everything is coming from a passing car.
I can only hear one person at a time.
They're driving by in a passing car, and hood cats are famous for not having good shots. They hold the gun sideways. They're famous for not being good shots. Semi-automatic weapon, them bullets come out pretty quick. The car's moving.
No. Unfortunately, where I come from, they are good shots because a lot of innocent bystanders, most people in the hood, when people get killed in the hood, it's intended for who it's intended to. Most of the time, believe it or not, people will run you down, blow you in broad gray lights. They know who did we get who, I mean, people get who they want to get in the city. It's rare occasion where you have innocent people just sprayed out in bullets drive-bys. I'm just talking about here. Now, recently, yes, it's been in the past, but I'm talking about as of now, in the last 10 years, it's not like that. And what I'm saying is, when someone, it can happen when someone intentionally kills a certain individual. And if you know anything about physics and the law of physics, it's still about uncertainty, man. So it's true. Possible that it could happen.
And
if a brother intentionally or anybody intentionally try to get him, whether I was sitting next to you or not, yeah. That's how
okay.
I look at it.
So can you explain me this? Someone that was in fear, or not necessarily in fear, but someone who had a concern about dying, who always wore bulletproof vests everywhere they went, why this particular day they didn't?
Why particular day they – well, you know, every time he was on the Vegas Strip, so you're going to have to prove to me that every time he – before that, because you know he was on that Vegas Strip, you have to prove to me before that night, all the times he was walking on the Vegas Strip, he was in a bulletproof vest. And I'm letting you know when you're
you
in certain areas and you have a certain advisor, huh?
And you have to prove to me that he wasn't.
Most of the – I can prove it to you by the pictures. Most of the time I've seen Tupac Shakur on any videotape walking in any interviews, he was not walking in broad daylight, going to the club in his finest wear, like that Mike Tyson fight, in a bulletproof vest, man.
Okay, now you're not going to go to the club in the daytime, and if you're in an interview, you're not going to sit in a bulletproof vest either.
Okay. All right. I'm okay.
So what you're saying is that he used to walk around with a bulletproof vest except on the day that he got
I told you this is
going to
be like
shot.
A religion, BZ. I'm not going to go here. It's like another religious debate. I mean,
they elevated Elvis to the level of Messiah. Why not?
Man, look what you
no,
did. You're
you right.
Son of a bulletproof
black,
vest,
the black thug Messiah.
Well, no, he called himself, he said he was a prophet, he said he was like Moses, so when he writes stuff like that and throw that out there, then some people write articles saying he was like a black Moses, then you're going to have these things,
he even called himself a black Jesus, and he said a lot of powerful things, and he had a perspective, because he was raised by revolutionaries from the time that he was a child. And he had a rough upbringing, and he said a lot of powerful things, and he was very charismatic. But at the end of the day, I just see it as a young life that's wasted, that could have taken a couple of steps back and slowed down and navigated his way through that situation and cared more about his life.
But let me ask a question.
Well, the person that shot him should have cared about his life. Hold on for a minute, Michael.
Now, let me ask this question. Do you think that the Illuminati played any role in this? Was he a part of the Illuminati and he needed to be sacrificed, or he needed to get away from them? Now, I'm just asking because Sister Ngoni put one of his quotes up in the chat room.
Oh, yeah.
And he says, "All I'm trying to do is survive and make good out of the dirty, nasty, unbelievable lifestyle that they gave me." So is that, y'all think that's a reference to something deeper than what we really knew about?
The way the quote reads to me, it doesn't seem so, but I mean, you could extrapolate from that. And when you're mentioning the Illuminati, there's a lot of stuff going on nowadays about how all these celebrities in Hollywood and in the record industry, how they sold their souls to the Illuminati. Yeah, they made
anybody
a false
else?
In contract. Yeah.
Oh, anybody else want to take a stab at that?
Well. Hey, they want to talk about people getting into the groups. He's saying other people got them. I'm just looking at the revolution. I'm just looking at what I know. When he was younger, here in Baltimore, Maryland, with the School of the Arts, I don't think the Illuminati was into him then. Now, they do make good points when they say, okay, when he first came out, he was black this, black that, community and all this. But he wasn't making no money. And at that time, NWA was coming out, and it is what it is. I was listening to another show, and a lady was just saying, I don't agree, which I totally disagree with her, but she said, I'm producing a show, but I totally disagree with this person is saying about black people, but you're producing the show, though. So it's like, you know, the producers is already in it, too. So, I mean, you know, if these companies are Illuminati haven't experienced yet, but who made him make that, you know, crossover? Who made that choice? The choice was for the money.
How many records did this guy sell?
Oh, God,
because look how
KRS-One
was number one, and KRS-One, look how he raps, and then look at all his other music.
Well, see, Joe, here's the thing about it. He sold a lot of records while he was living, but once he came out with like seven more albums.
Huh? Elvis's estate made more money right after he died, and still is, than he did when he was alive, and he was selling records when he was alive. As a matter of fact, he still got, outside of the Beatles, he's still like number one, number two.
Michelle said he sold 75 million, so that's a lot.
Tupac sold 75
estate.
Million?
Yeah, album.
Damn,
yeah.
That's a lot.
He's huge. He's the biggest selling rap artist of all time. Tupac's estate would have probably made a lot more money and still would make a lot more money, except the T-shirts and a lot of the stuff you see in the streets and have seen in the streets, they're knockoffs.
Yeah, that's it, bootleggers, yeah.
Yeah, bootleggers and knockoffs, bootleg albums and the memorabilia.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
Was Tupac, was he popular during the time that the music industry started to turn rap into gangster rap?
Yeah,
that's when
he became popular. Remember Negoni, when he first came out, he was like Queen Latifah. He was like the African type stuff. Because, you know, his mom
that was
from the
when
Black
they started
Panthers
turning
party.
Rap into
yes,
rap, right?
Yeah, Mr. Ford from Black Panthers Party. So she was an activist back then. So when he first came out, rapping, it was all about the community, how girls treat them bad, black power, you know,
Brenda
all
had
this,
a baby.
You know, watch out for white supremacy, right? But then that quote-unquote gangster rap came out with NWA, he totally switched over. Too popular now. Totally
Thank
switched
you,
over.
Michael.
Boom. That's just a fact.
Well, he also got around some gangsters.
Exactly. So life does, and he would tell you that life does have an evolve at that time because he was like 17, 18 when he was doing that Black Power stuff, going through struggles, still having personal problems with his family like we all do, and, you know, in and out and hang around people. So that's a part of it, too, and Beasley is correct.
You know, what I think is a stupid thing, I don't know if Tupac did this, but I heard that he did, is that, and a lot of celebrities are doing this nowadays, is that on Twitter nowadays, celebrities are calling out other celebrities like they don't like Miley Cyrus or some chick doesn't like the Kardashians and they're calling them stupid and everything. And I know a lot of rappers, they're calling out their competition on stage, and I think that's dangerous.
Well,
yeah,
but the world likes beef. The world likes conflict.
Mm-hmm. Right, chaos and confusion, right?
These cells, they like conflict. Did you hear what so-and-so said about so-and-so? Could even be contrived. That stuff sells. There's a fight for attention. It's a crowded marketplace. It's a crowded marketplace, and people and these wannabes or even people that are to have some type of notoriety, they'll do anything to stay in that light.
Yeah, but
stay relevant.
But if you're in that kind of business, if it's as dangerous as it is, why? Because you know, I think Kanye West, I think he has the reputation of doing that. Or 50 Cent.
Yeah, 50 Cent. He creates.
He
created his career on arguing with people.
Yeah, and they call out each other.
Yeah. Well, hold on. Let me bring Mays in. Okay. Miss Mays, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hello. Miss Mays.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, Mays.
Well, when we get to talk about the rappers, it depends on how you feel about them. If you like them or you hate them, you won't have nothing good to say. And if you don't know nothing about them, you still won't have nothing good to say. So Tupac was becoming too political at the time where he changed. His mother was a Black Panther Party person. So was Snoop Lion. They came out of that era. But then they started to go back to make changes like rap really started off before gangster rap came out. And it was going back to that. Tupac was very smart. Wasn't a dumb person. And you're talking about Kanye West. He's even making the rebel flag. He carries one. Because he wants He's beginning to get too political, and people are beginning to hate him. Just like Dennis Rodman played basketball all those years, they slapped him to the side. Now he's finding a way to make him some money. They're calling him stupid.
Who, Dennis Rodman?
That's right, Dennis Rodman. They're calling him stupid because he's found a way to make money.
They a lot of people hate Kanye, but they
but they're
repackaging him at the same time. He's in bed with the Kardashians.
Did you see that new video of his?
I saw it on YouTube.
I couldn't believe it.
It's just like Jimi Hendrix, Michael Jackson, and all those performers, along with the gospel ones.
And Michael Jackson had talent. Kanye West didn't have
him. All of them got talent. That's your opinion, Joe.
Kanye West is incredibly talented. He was a music producer, and he produced records before he even started.
The only video I've seen of him is his latest one with him and Kim Kardashian. That is the worst shit I've seen in a long time.
That's my opinion. So I mean that's subject to interpretation.
Wow.
That's my opinion.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I would like to say something real quick. Y'all guys made up a very valid point on how people talk about each other. That's how hip-hop started. People sprawling against each other. Listen, it's like playing the dozens. In New York, they go in the street. Two people right now in New York, or in the summertime, they will rap. Two people will battle rap each other all day, walk in crowds around them, and at the end of the person's rap, the person says, "Be easy, because what I just said, don't take it further than it is." That is a fact.
And
they do it all the time in New York. Hold on. I want to say this. But that's how hip-hop started. One rapper going on each other, this and that. So would you rather them to awfully, gainfully, skillfully, and lividly battle each other in that sense, or talk about selling drugs or making cocaine music?
It was an East Coast West Coast thing that was against each other.
Nah,
Jim Brown brought both of them together, and they've been friends ever since.
I'm talking about the original. I'm talking about the rappers. Okay, I'm bringing it to my circle. Since
you don't talk,
okay.
I think it's my turn. So anyway, Jim Brown brought them together because they was like had a rep against either after the Tupac incident and the one that went to prison. What was his name? After he got out, he tried to start it back again. But Jim Brown brought them together, so the East Coast and the West Coast rappers, they get along together and they do things together. They even making music together now. They were doing it apart.
A lot of people tried to solve that schism there. It still kind of exists. It's just not as bloody.
It's just like the mafia, it's no different than the mafia, but wasn't
a lot of that perpetrated by the media though? The media put it to a point to where it was a lot worse than it actually was because everybody started believing the hype that was in the media.
I can tell you what it was in a nutshell. There was a rivalry between
Suge Knight
and anybody in the music industry that was Black. Mm-hmm. Okay, so he and the Bad Boy, that was an effective group. That was they were selling records. So he had a rivalry with them. Then after Tupac got shot, and he figured these guys set him up, and they were his friends. He has a problem with them. So it's really a problem between these two groups, these two particular record labels, and all of the street people that are affiliated with them. You know, it's not just these two groups. They got a lot of street people. Trying to find their way out of the streets and into the music business that are bringing their street ways
And you have a lot of jealousy. Mixed with a lot of jealousy, Beasley.
Yeah,
oh,
but what they turned it into, what they turned it into two whole coasts.
It wasn't an East Coast, West Coast?
No, it was actually two record labels with
oh, okay.
problems with each
it
other.
Was both.
Mm. But they
made a lot of money.
The whole coast, right. They made a lot of money promoting that, too. A lot of money pushing that.
But when you mix jealousy and money, it's equal murder. When you're that close, when you got studios and you on the same strip, because that's like they're around the same community. Even though they're not in the hood no more, they hang around the same bars and stuff like that. So that's just how things happen, man.
Some of them didn't
but
come out the hood.
Well, we're talking about the rappers we're talking about now. We just talk, Macy have to stay on top. When I was talking
I'm
about
talking
when
about
I was
Tupac
talking about Brigham
did not come
circle.
Out the hood. Jada Pinkett did not come out the hood, and they was
what
best
you,
friends.
Tupac came out of the hood.
Tupac
came up poor.
Exactly. I'm great,
Tupac.
Yo. I don't
okay.
know. The man, Mace.
Okay.
He lives in the
what
same city I came up from. I know the person is.
What city
I know
that?
Some of the people he used to know, ma'am, and I know the way that he came up, ma'am.
Okay.
He
so
made
he lived
about
you know
that.
Pinkett
so
too?
Just go. I'm
he
just,
lived in New York.
Just,
he lived in New York.
I'm
he lived
you,
in New York.
Did you know Jada Pinkett too? But they were the best friends and they ran
Baltimore
together.
Too, ma'am.
Yeah, they all hung together.
Okay, she
he lived in,
right.
He lived in Baltimore probably 4 or 5 years, and then they moved. And then they moved to Marin City up in the Bay Area, and Marin City's a ghetto.
You know what? Beasley, I apologize. See, you
go ahead.
Never speak on nothing that you don't know about. Now I understand why Mace does. I mean, even we tried to put.
You
may be speaking on something
Mike.
That you really
just,
don't know.
Give your portion and let me get man, okay? And just leave it at that.
She, well, no, the man is telling you that he comes from the hood, and you're saying on this air that he did not come from the hood. Well,
he definitely comes from the bottom. He was poor, and his mother got hooked on drugs.
His mother was also a Black Panther person too, and so did
right. And
Marvin Gaye got hooked on drugs too.
It's hard to find employment. It's hard to find employment when you're an ex-revolutionary. It makes it hard. She had it hard. They lived in shelters.
Mm-hmm.
They had it real difficult. She moved from place to place looking for something better, and then she ended up on drugs. So she was conscious, but you could be conscious and, like my grandfather used to say, you could protest your ass all the way down to Skid Row.
Yeah, but a lot of them was on drugs.
Yeah, so
you
I mean,
need to go down the line, and we always talk about the hip hop. We don't never talk about the old one.
I would be mighty surprised if he were to come back.
That is real too.
If they were to have faked his death, and at the end of the day, it's tragic that a young life with so much promise and so much going for him ends up dead.
Mm. And that's what anybody's life.
I'm on my I'm always thinking about Biggie Small. You said Shug.
Suge Knight.
And I'm thinking Biggie Small for some reason.
Yeah. Heart.
Well, you know, Tupac, like I said, Tupac was, part of faking his death or whatever, and Biggie was actually a sacrifice by the Illuminati. I'm just telling you what I done heard over the years, so.
He was a revenge killing. He was a revenge killing that was probably committed by rogue LAPD officers that watched it happen.
Which one?
The FBI. Oh,
the one.
Which one? Tupac or the other one?
Biggie.
No, talking about Biggie right now.
Oh, Biggie.
Yeah, and you better believe there were FBI and other agencies following these guys everywhere they went that knew
that there was
animosity and probably did nothing to stop. I don't think they were directly involved. But I can say they probably did nothing to stop or intervene the killings. So
I would believe that. No, I would ask.
Well,
so
they let them go at it because mentally, concept-wise, now this is a theory, this is not a fact, but concept-wise, I think I think some quote-unquote black people thought the same thing. Let them go ahead and kill each other like the quote-unquote people in the real inner city that's really selling the drugs, that's not on the stage, that's not saying that I'm doing it, but I'm not doing it, and I'm making money off of it now, because none of them will go on the block and push when they was making all those monies. Let them go ahead and shoot it out and kill each other and let the murders come unsolved like many, many murders in the hood. I say
well,
they just sit back and let it play it out.
Well, what also happens, what serves the powers that be's purpose is that two voices with a lot of charisma and a lot of following, you know, had either one of these guys grown up and got to be older in, say, maybe 5 or 10 years, and they were to become political and to start speaking out about some of the inequalities, the injustices, they could become very dangerous. Because people would unite behind them.
They would be just
them,
like
so,
KRS-One. Them, they would have been took out the map and
so, that, so they let these things happen. I don't think that it, they actively participated, but the powers that be let these things
right.
happen because it does stop the
right.
rise of a black messiah.
Right.
That is a concern.
So basically, right, so you understand what I'm saying, right? Exactly.
Right.
It's like, okay,
right.
We can prevent it. We can put measures to do that. But go ahead and just let them go ahead and do it, and let them just go ahead and kill each other.
But from what I've read and people I've talked to, and I've talked to people in the streets, and from everything that I've heard and deducted, I even know someone that is friendly with Tupac's mother, who's a friend of my uncle, and he's a movie producer, and he's good friends with her, and been friends for years, and spoken with her, and. He thought there was something more to this. He thought that maybe the lawyer for Death Row Records was involved with the killing of Tupac because he felt he had a lot to lose. He had recently fired that lawyer, and Tupac had completed his three album deal in order that he signed with Death Row Records in order to get bailed out of prison when he was in prison. And he was out on appeal, and he knew he had limited time. So, you know, he felt that, but I think it's really just basic street stuff. And he found himself involved in the street stuff, and, you know, they play for keeps.
Well, he was about to do what these rappers are doing now. You know how an artist would come out, and then now that artist... He'll come on, and then he'll bring another groups out, and because
right.
he had a group called Outlaws. Right, so he was breaking away doing his own stuff. So as he said, I think that's what his mother said, that he was breaking away with, like he said, all his obligations was gone. And if you see, he was trying to be on the more on the producer side.
Yeah,
still rapping,
yeah.
but being a producer, having his own label. And once you get
Euthanasia
your own label.
Euthanasia was the name of it.
Right, exactly.
Euthanasia.
Right, so
I mean,
these rappers are get with people, and then they start their own shit. That's what Tupac was doing with the Outlaw Crew. And then once he was doing that, maybe, I say jealousy and money, so it may be. Like I said, maybe it's somebody closer, but I think he's dead and gone. Bullets
all
tail,
right, well, all
I
right.
think the bigger murder was a retaliation.
If he is or not.
All right, hold on, I got somebody else want to get in on the conversation. All right, area code 313, welcome to the show. Who do we have
well,
here?
Well, good afternoon, everybody. How you doing?
Hi.
I was calling, when I saw your title, I didn't know much about Machiavelli, although
mm-hmm.
I knew that Tupac had done a song with that title. So I looked up Machiavelli. I typed in Machiavelli Syndrome. And what came up was a little bit of history about a Prince Machiavelli, and he put together 48 Laws of Power. Now, in describing this Machiavelli personality, because they say that it's a personality, they describe this Machiavelli in person, that and some of his positions were that he should only be concerned with power and be bound only by rules that would lead to success. Never show humility. It is more effective to show arrogance when dealing with others. Morality and ethics are for the weak. Powerful people should feel free to lie, cheat, and deceive whenever it suits their purpose. It is better to be feared than loved.
Oh,
this is just a few of his sort of his behavior type, that personality. They're confident and glib, but they also are arrogant, calculating, cynical, and prone to manip- manipulate and exploit. And in the context of a laboratory experiment game, High Mox displays a keen and optimistic sense of timing, and they appear to capitalize, especially in situations that contain ambiguity regarding the rules. And some of the rules are...
Ambiguity.
Mm-hmm. And then it says, conceal your intentions. Get others to do your work for you, but always take the credit. Make other people come to you. Use bait if necessary. Learn to keep people dependent on you. Do not commit to anyone. Master the art of timing. Work on the hearts and minds of others.
Now,
so
he was giving a letter to that king.
Personality. This is a very deviant personality.
He was a successful CEO of a Fortune 500 company.
He was given those things. What you're reading, he was writing a letter to the prince and letting the prince know this is how you're supposed to rule. And the letter became famous. That's what you're reading.
Machiavelli the prince. But those characteristics you're going to see at the top, the head of a mob boss. Look at where you're going to see those characteristics at the head of a record label, at the head of a movie studio, or an agent. I mean, that's how you have to be.
I heard that reading The Prince by Machiavelli is required for all the Congress.
I read that in history class, man. It was a requirement when I went to college history class. I had to take a test on it.
Wow.
No, I'm saying that was just one of the part of the lessons, though. That's what I'm just saying. I mean, come on. I mean, everybody can study Machiavelli.
John Gotti read it.
Well,
tells you that he read it.
In other words, we've got to be a sociopath.
Yeah.
Right.
The movie.
The famous quote out of there is it's better to rule by fear than love.
Oh, yeah.
See,
that's
why I always say love and fear never mix.
Because you're taught that love is the strongest emotion of all. And what Machiavelli said, it's better to have people fear you instead of love you, that people will betray love, but their fear is going to stop them from doing something to you.
But if you look at the Stockholm Syndrome, those folks who fear and who were terrorized, they turn to love their oppressor right today.
Yeah.
Well, the most powerful emotion is fear, because that fear can turn into anger. See, fear is emotion and anger is emotion. Fear can turn into anger. It's a powerful thing. Now, I wouldn't say it's more than love. Me, personally, this is just my concept. No, you never can say one is more than each other. One emotional is more. Because what his concept is, that we have that formula is total chaos and confusion. This is why we have problems of the world. I don't want nobody to fear me. That's crazy. I'm in total control.
Today, Michael?
And if I control them, Nagoni, I fear them factually, because I don't want them to be on my level or be over me. That's factually. Anybody I try to control, I fear them.
Thank you. We have a comment in the room. It says, Machiavelli is considered the father of the modern political theory. His writings are greatly misunderstood.
Oh, okay. And I want to hear that. How are they misunderstood, whoever wrote that?
No.
Sounds pretty
commenter is being called to talk about it. You're being
recognized. Who's the guy or the woman who said that?
Galactic science.
Yeah, galactic science.
Oh, galactic. Oh, Antu. Antu, yeah. Can you elaborate on that? I like
we
to
always
know.
See things different. We always
half they
see
were
different.
Misunderstood.
That's the point.
But Sister Goni was trying to ask a question, and I think it was, do you think we live in fear today in this country?
Absolutely.
But that is something, Goni?
Yes.
In society.
Yes.
Absolutely.
When have we never? When have we never lived in fear?
Exactly. I locked my door. I'm insecure. I locked my door last night.
I'm not afraid of much.
Michael, when I grew up as a little girl, we didn't lock our front doors. We left our bicycles on the front lawn. They were there in the morning when we got up. We didn't lock the doors.
Yeah.
There are times in my life that I've been fearless, and I've looked back at those times, and I said, you were a damn fool. You're lucky that you're still here.
No, that's,
when
I disagree with you, Mr. Everybody took care of each other. And we was down the street on our bikes clowning. Somebody down the neighborhood would give you a whooping, and you'd have another one waiting on you when you got home.
That's right.
We lived in a safe community.
Well,
I don't know where you live.
Country when I was little. Well, when I went to the country, I was little. Yeah, they was living like that. I ain't locked no door.
Hold on for a minute.
They don't lock doors now.
I live with a certain amount of fear now. I look at the crime that goes on, and I look at some of it that's how random it is. You know, there's a lot of robberies, and they rob people in restaurants, and they rob everyone in the restaurants. Does it stop me from doing things? No, but am I mindful of it? Yes.
All right, hold on. Let me bring Knowledge in so he can elaborate on his statement in the chat room. Hello, Mr. Knowledge. How are you today?
History lesson now. Be quiet.
Good afternoon, good people. How is everyone doing today?
Good, thank you.
Wonderful.
Glad to hear that.
I'm sorry, I can't call you by your new name. It has to be Andrew.
That's okay. That's fine. I'm good with it. The name's been banned, so I just can't use it anymore. That's all.
So he's going to give his opinion like everybody else.
I have freedom of speech, though. I'll use it.
Okay. Yeah. By all means, and you can call me anything you want. I probably even call worse. But anyway, the point in what I was saying is that when you look at Machiavelli in terms of his writing, now he came to prominence in the late 1400s, which would be the 15th century. So this was during the Renaissance period in the Florentine region of Italy under the Medici family. When they got exiled, they ran them out. He was put in the position of prominence. And then through a series of wars, what he was doing in his writings was he was writing to the monarchy at that time and the republic in terms of how to maintain a political system and the steps that have to be taken when you want to change things, when you want to bring in new things, when you want to maintain something. All he was doing was giving a blueprint to the power structure where he was in terms of what it is that you need to do if you want to maintain powers, for instance, if you want to overthrow a monarchy, you have to kill the whole family, everybody. That's the only way it's going to work. He also did treaties on collectivism. He did it on religion versus conflict. So in my opinion, in my studies of him, it's not so much that he was an evil person. It was just that he was giving a blueprint on how to maintain whatever type of system of government that you were running wherever you were. So when we talk about the Machiavellian syndrome, and like it was alluded to earlier in terms of required readings, it's because what he was talking about was so profound in how to maintain a republic, how to maintain a democracy, how to maintain socialism, how to maintain a monarchy. So he had put something together that had never been structured together before. And he actually wrote the book, The Prince, in, 1513. The book didn't even get published for another 15, 20 years, and that was after he was dead. Medici's came back in power. One of the family members had died, and then they gave the book to the other family member that came into power who obviously didn't read it, and then that's when it actually went into circulation. So it didn't actually gain popularity amongst the world until like almost 200 years later in like the 1700s. So that's where the whole lore of Machiavelli comes from. He was a very profound thinker. He wrote plays, he did comedies, he did poetry, philosophy. There was so much more to him than just, okay, you're ruled by an iron fist. And that term that we have that is coined today, the ends justify the means, that comes from him. And there's nothing good or evil about it. It just is what it is.
You don't think that having supreme power over others is not evil?
Well, I'm not gonna argue that. I'm not gonna debate that. What I'm saying
no,
is
that, you I mean, you sound
could,
like you think he was a really
you know,
nice
he's
guy.
Being neutral. He's being neutral
I,
on
I,
it.
I think,
but you
know, no, but
evil.
I think
evil.
That,
you realize he was writing a prince and he was giving a prince advice. But if you listen, I'm just saying, if I was doing a paper on it, I wouldn't really blame him for stuff. I understand what you're saying, Nagoni, but if I listen to what he's saying
I just
real closely. No. I understand that, right. But if I, Nagoni, if I listen to what his letter is saying, he's just reiterating what rulers and pharaohs have done for many years in their own way.
That's right, Michael.
Wait.
That's very
no,
wrong.
No, I'm not saying that it's right. No, I'm not saying that it's right. I'm just saying the reason why. Okay, I'm not saying that it's right. I know it's not.
The rulers
right,
and princes
have
thousands of people. They start wars. They starve people to death. And they're still doing the same thing today. And I think that's cool.
Exactly right.
You're
the
right. The ends don't always justify the means. That's just a cliche that people say. But it doesn't mean that it's true. Just because
right. You can challenge everything what he says. Right. That thing is right.
But, that's not what the question was about. That's not what my question was about.
Willing to do anything to get what you want. You're ruthless.
Yeah, that's to sum it up as being ruthless. But N2 had said that his writings were misinterpreted, and that's what I wanted to challenge, because I feel that if a person is going to read The Prince, and I have the book The Prince, it's actually a very thin book.
Yeah.
When you read it.
Yeah,
when you read it.
Go ahead, Mike. Go ahead, Joe.
Okay,
go ahead, Joe.
When you read it, you are actually getting the blueprint, as N2 had said, about how to be ruthless. So when people read this, and they follow what is being said, I don't think they're misinterpreting what Machiavelli had intended. They're actually doing what he had intended. Now, he had written this in order for the monarchy to stay in power, but if you're going to keep that monarchy in power by being that ruthless and making sure that you're going to control other people's lives and give them the guillotine and everything, I'm just saying I don't understand. It's like saying it would be misinterpreted if Mother Teresa had said something and then somebody came along and said, well, Mother Teresa actually wanted everybody to be killed, okay? So when Machiavelli wants everybody to be ruled, to be killed, to make sure that you keep your enemies, you keep your friends close, your enemies closer, I don't know how that's misinterpreted. So I just wanted him to clarify on that.
Okay, well,
hold on for a minute,
okay.
Please, into. Real fast.
Okay.
All right, y'all. We got 9 minutes left in the show to hear it live anyway. So if you want to continue to hear it live once we go in overtime, just give us a call, 347-838-8622. Now, you can stay in the chat room. We still going to continue to chat. But, you know, if you want to continue to hear it live, you need to get on the switchboard so you can do that. All right. And we're back to our great conversation here. Go ahead, N2K.
So the ball is now in N2's court.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here's a parallel for you, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Most Americans misinterpret what democracy is.
True.
Because in the United States, we don't live in a democracy.
True.
However, if you talk to the average citizen, they will swear on a stack of Bibles that this is a democratic system, and it's not.
Mm-hmm.
True or false?
Yeah, that's true.
Hold up. No, hold up.
Okay.
Hold up.
Okay.
You just switched words on us. Staves, no. You first you said
he's
the democracy.
He's giving an analogy. He's giving an analogy.
No. Hold up. No. Listen to what he said. He says this is not a democracy. Then he says it's not a democratic system. You use two different words. What I want you to do, because I know what a democracy, explain to me, give me the meaning of it since we don't know.
I didn't say it
wasn't.
Now you're
giving me the meaning of both words now because you used two words. You didn't say on the same word.
No, all facts. I said most people believe in the United States that we live in a democracy, and we don't.
And why would that not be a fact?
Oh, boy.
Because it's a two-party system. That's not democratic.
Well, that's
No, the people control it being a two-party system. It's not us. For me, you know how I try to stop? By resident myself, I want them to change it as a voter, but they have me labeled as an unaffiliated independent. I'm not a part of a group. I can't
okay,
vote for me.
Let me keep it real simple for you, all facts.
Start up in the details of the
let me keep it real simple for you, all facts.
But we still
control
that.
If you read your Constitution, of the United States,
we're going somewhere
we're not. Real simple. If you read the Constitution of the United States and you read the Bill of Rights, the word democracy is nowhere in it. Nowhere. You can't find it. Now, I challenge you on that.
So why are you
using
the word?
Wait.
Ambiguous word. I understand where you're going at, sir.
There's no ambiguity here. I'm being very direct.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, listen, guys. Listen, I'm a scholar at this now, bro. If you use the word
democracy
and it says, though it is not written in no dictionary, you saying it has no meaning.
No, that's not about it. Can I sum this up?
Yes, Joe.
Okay. And
go,
no, you don't
want
I'm to
sum
gonna,
up.
I'm gonna go ahead and stop.
Yes, Joe.
Oh, that was amazing.
Right
I thought that was
stop. Because we off topic, I'm gonna go ahead and stop.
Ooh.
I'll get him later. I'll go ahead and stop because right now you're making a fool of himself.
There's no difference between what Anthony was saying between democracy and democratic. Now, here's my concept about why a democracy, why we're not a democracy.
But what
we
about Machiavelli? He took you guys off on a loop.
Okay, so we're on a new thing.
All
so
right.
The Democratic Republic.
So interesting. But go ahead.
But the Democratic Republic is that people, yes, are elected out of a democratic type of process, but they, when they're in Congress, they are supposedly, theoretically, supposed to adhere to the Constitution, which makes us a republic. In other words, the legislature supposedly cannot make laws unless they're conformed to the Constitution. And a democracy means when 51% say that this particular law is the law, then
right.
The other 49% have to follow it. In other words,
thank
it's
you.
Majority rule, which is what
thank
we're
you.
Not supposed to be.
It's hard,
right.
It's hard to have a true democracy where you voted on every issue with 300 million people, so they elect delegates, so to speak.
Well, in reality, yeah, and that's why the Electoral College is there.
Right,
because
and also the your congressman is a delegate. They represent a certain segment of the population in a certain area. But what about Machiavelli?
Right on. Let's get back to the subject.
And okay, Machiavelli with regards to
he gave you the parallel, and then we went somewhere else.
About the misinterpretation. I'm just saying that when somebody reads Machiavelli, that they're reading somebody who is advocating total power, total control, ruthlessness, and if they follow that, then I'm misinterpreting what his intention was.
I don't think so.
Okay. And what I meant by misinterpretation is that when you're reading The Prince, when you're reading, he also did another one that really got by a lot of people that they didn't read, which was Discourses on Livy. Okay, so he's getting into very profound things. Now, basically, when I say misinterpretation, it depends on what side of the ledger you're on. If you're making the rule, are you making the rules?
Right.
Or are you being subjected to the rules that are being made?
Oh, I think I know what you might mean. Let me see if I got it. they're misinterpreting that he, that they probably think that he was an evil person for having written these rules, as opposed to he was just being practical in order for the prince to follow some kind of blueprint to stay in power.
Okay. That's it.
You also mentioned that there's a lot more to this man.
A lot more to him. Okay, I got it. Thanks.
He's 48.
That's all I was saying.
Let's give a hand around the room.
Man, we went a long way around just to get to that point right there, huh?
My bad.
Sometimes understanding is better.
Okay.
He was Machiavelli. He was extremely practical.
Excuse
he was very profound.
I made a mistake, Mr. Tom.
And he was
excuse
a deep
me.
Thinker.
I made a mistake.
What?
He said that the word democracy is nowhere in the Bill of Rights. I thought he said, I'm sorry, I said he said that democracy wasn't in the dictionary. I apologize. But he said the Bill of Rights. Despite that, you still would have to explain why we use that word, democracy.
Well,
and what does it describe? And what is the meaning of it? And why
well,
are
democracy,
we living in it right now?
Democracy, in terms of how the United States was built, when you have a constitution, you have a Bill of Rights, you're founding your basic political system on a republic, like Joe has said. That's what that whole constitution and Bill of Rights is. Mm-hmm. It's the foundation for a republic. However, we're talking about theory versus application. Now, when we actually are applying our political system and we use the term democratic, it's to give your general population the feeling that they are a part of the process. Like Joe was saying, majority, you know, we all vote, and then if the 51% win, then the 49% has to go with the 51%. So we're given this imagery.
Okay,
that's another one. Another hand round of applause.
Listen to what he said. This is crazy. N2K, I understand you. I respect you. But when you gave the definition, he said it gives the public the feeling. I say that's not a definition. Forget feeling. I say when you talk about the democratic society or democracy, I guarantee you you're going to be talking about the action, the action of the people. That's not a damn feeling. You try to put a feeling like now it's a conspiracy. When you name a Republican or Democratic, what are the actions of the people? Now watch this. What are the actions?
Many people understood what he had to say.
A Republican or Republic is supposed to be governed or how it's supposed to be ran. It ain't going to take you long.
Let's put it real simple for you, all facts. We offer for every registered voter, every 4 years, you vote for president. Or if you're a registered voter and you decide to vote, if you participating, okay, you're allowed to be a part of the process. However, because you have an electoral college, who was the last president that won a popular vote? That means the people.
No, it's like
that
saying,
means us.
Listen. I agree it should be restructured, but right now it's just like any gambling game, any game that you make up, that you play, and you say these are the rules and this is fair. It says the states control the election, so we give the states their freedom.
Okay.
Some states go on congressional districts. Most states go on the most popular votes that a person gets in that state, gets that number or that greater value in that state. In some states divided. One state has three electoral votes, and depending on the percentage, one president to get two votes and the other person to get one electoral. But no electoral college went against the vote. When is the last time electoral college went against the majority vote? You never say that. They normally don't do it. It's rare. So they always stick with the popular vote.
That's the beauty of the electoral college.
That was the basis for the Gore-Bush decision.
Went against a majority Joe.
But that's
another.
Let's get back to
the
subject.
When did they do it? That's a fact. It's not a fraud.
In a democracy, why would you have an electoral college?
It's like any other game. It's a value you get with a number system.
Can I jump in?
And each state is responsible for it.
Please jump in, sister. Jump in.
Okay, the question was, how is this a democracy, right? Or that it wasn't a democracy? Which one
right.
was it?
Yeah.
A true democracy. Okay. I was saying it's not a true democracy.
He said it's
not
a true democracy, and everybody will argue that it is.
Tell me how a republic is supposed to be acted out.
Excuse
sir.
Me. I asked if I could jump in. 51% ruling over 49% is not a democracy either. Okay. This, the United States for America was created as a constitutional republic. And anytime you hear the word democracy coming out of any politician's mouth, that is representative of when the U.S. corporation took over the republic. The Constitutional Republic.
Wow. Works for me.
Okay,
for me.
Fine.
So democracy. Okay, so what describes people voting and getting a consensus of a people? I'm not even on the. I'm not even. I'm somewhere else. I'm not on a computer. No dictionary.
All right, let me
what
try.
What does it mean when you get a consensus of the people to pass laws and representatives
no.
of, or quote-unquote representatives to pass laws for you? What is that? What
me,
is
let
that?
Me ask you a question, Michael. Is a consensus 51% ruling over 49%? Is that a consensus?
That's how we do it. That's how
no,
we
no,
do
no,
it
no,
scale.
No. You asked the question, and I'm just showing you something.
Yes.
It's a majority, not a consensus.
Yes.
That's not, that's really a consensus.
You got
to no,
watch
your
language around Beasley. He make
and,
you nervous, but listen.
And only
30%. If Beasley say, I want to take a vote, and we're going to vote and see if we're going to ban Michael off of his show, and I guarantee you, if y'all take the vote, I'm going to have to go. 3 to 5, I'm going to have to go. That's the other people.
Hold on, dang it. Now, I'm going to bring that full circle. Now, Michael, now you just put it out there. When they take a vote and they say, okay, yep, Mr. Talk, we don't want Michael on the show anymore. Okay, the majority. Okay?
I would
now,
just use that as
well, but
guys.
Yet, listen. But yet, I still have the final say. You see what I'm
this
saying?
No
and
democracy.
That's like electoral college.
No,
so I can overrule
no, well,
you.
This
well,
is
nothing. That's the way it is.
Not a kind ruler.
So he's Machiavelli. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to ask
kind
you,
ruler that
okay,
lets us
okay,
run
okay if that's the case, when has it been the last time that someone did that, Mr. Tall?
Huh?
When has someone from the electoral college win against the majority
vote?
When Bush got elected his last term?
So, Mr. Machiavelli, you control.
Please, let me just say one more thing.
Go ahead.
It wasn't an impact, man.
The Declaration of Independence started with we the people, correct?
Right.
Correct.
The reality today is we the corporations, because that's who has all the power. So we don't live in a democracy.
Okay.
No,
all
it's
right.
not another
topic.
We're still talking about democracy.
All right. Here's the
really
democracy. Democracy usually means if you have a democratic nation, it means that the rule of 51%, whatever the majority is, like a referendum, if you're voting for a law, the law passes because the majority says, yeah, we want this law. Okay, that's a purely democratic type of nation. We
correct.
Elect our senators and our congressmen through a democratic process whereby they get, now I'm not talking about the presidential election, I'm talking about Congress, where they get elected because the majority says we want them in. Now, where the republic comes in is that now that these legislators are elected, they cannot do what they want to do. They cannot just pass laws the way they want to. They have to be confined by the Constitution.
Democracy is a form of government in which eligible citizens participate equally, either directly or through elected representatives in the proposals, development, and the creation of law. It encompasses social, economic, and cultural conditions that enable the free and equal practice of political self-determination.
And I guarantee you that's all got to do with voting. That's what the hell we do. That's what a democracy, and that's action.
Isn't that what I just finished
saying? I said you have to
say.
Give it to me. That's a fact.
Well, we are
now,
now.
Let me look up Democratic.
The reality,
I'm
that's
now.
What we have. You said that, Joe,
already,
but in reality, that's not
to
what we have today.
I'm not talking about the corporation. I'm talking about the Republican.
I'm just saying you don't even
right
have
now
a fair vote today because they have the black box, no trail, no paper trail.
Okay, that's
so,
a different thing. Yeah,
okay,
you're talking
so,
about rigging the election.
So how
yeah
can we ensure
yeah
a fair vote?
So how can you have
all
a democracy? They have a
no,
real
you can't
vote
have a true democracy that way. I'm just talking
had
about
Gawley,
the definition.
If you go back to Africa and
get into a nation,
yeah,
I guarantee you that African nation is going to have a voting system, or I'm not going to be a part of it. So how are you going to ensure that the voting is not corrupted then, Ms. Ngoni?
Oh, my
well,
goodness.
She's just saying that it is. You can't
ensure go read about Diabol machines and look at the testimony before Congress about the back doors
no
and the voting machines.
Right.
That's been for
no
years.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
There was a guy who was a programmer, and he talked about that in Congress. He gave his testimony.
Tell the facts. The fact is, it is .00078-something voter fraud across the nation. That's a fact.
What is it that you're trying
fraud,
to...
All of what you're talking about, those couple of thousand, you guys are talking about a couple of hundred votes that got fucked up.
Not a couple.
Voter fraud is something different, though.
70 or 90
yeah
million of people
voter fraud
voting
is somebody voting twice or using someone's name. They're talking
well,
about
yeah
just rigging the elections.
It's
about
still
the, about
and when
the
you
way
look at the way laws
work
are implemented,
on,
there is a justice manual
fraud
that tells you how laws are to be implemented. They're supposed to go before Congress, for the Senate, the legislators, three different times. Hello?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Three different times.
Then
it comes before the people, and then we vote. And if according to how we vote, the law is implemented or it's not. But when has
correct
that happened last? I don't
no
know.
Well,
but I don't think
that.
Well,
that,
no,
that only
that
happens on the referendum. Miss,
you have to be a millionaire to even get in
yeah
Congress.
Yeah, but what she's talking about, this particular process, that's not part of the process. What you're talking about is a referendum if they give it to the people to vote on. Ordinarily, legislators
not if. I'm going by the Jefferson Manual, and the manual says that all law comes
yeah
before the people.
Comes
that's
before
right.
The
that
people
makes it positive law.
Okay.
Not statute, positive
that,
law. When
that's why we don't live in a true democracy.
Exactly.
Well, it never
that's
was
my,
intended to be a
that's
true
what
democracy
she's saying.
No,
too.
Hold on. She just said, okay, if you listen to what she said, she said we vote them in, but we are not still responsible. That's just like all the other shows that says we vote them in, but we don't hold them accountable. That's
Michael,
why
you
I don't
mix
consider
them words
leaders
and leaving some words out
they
there. Slow down, brother.
No. Well, see, what I'm saying is they are not leaders. They're representatives. If you look with the democracy,
what they
I
represent
just said.
Who do they represent?
Exactly.
They don't represent you.
Represent
I mean,
the consensus of the people. With the consensus
no
of the people.
Hmm.
Well, okay,
no, it's,
so
okay,
what,
okay. Talking theory
so,
versus
okay
reality, okay?
No. Right. I'm just going to ask you guys a question. If you was going to start your nation, if you want a peaceful nation, how would you get the consensus of the people, or are you just going to say whatever you want is how everybody going to live? You
that's the way
of
I would
all,
do
you get
it.
First
that's
of all, you get a military. You get a military, first of all.
No.
I would read Machiavelli's book two or three times, and I would keep them. I'd photocopy it and post it and paste
right
it.
But you don't want nobody to teach
and
you like
I would
that
read
right
it all
now,
the time,
baby.
And I would just keep a foot on their neck, and I'd give them some breaks every now and then, so they make. I'd give them football games. And
Brandon
give them some
Brandon
sports
Brandon
or some
Brandon
entertainment, and I let them have legalized marijuana and liquor, and I let them get high.
And no voting. No voting.
Be it put GMO in the food.
No,
and
no, voting.
Let them
vote,
too. I let them even think they voted.
Consensus of the people. Okay.
Just raise the egos right of the people. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Football and some basketball.
But how do we get yes all the way around, like Eric said? I mean, all we had to do is democracy is 51% means that's it. And whoever's elected, they make the laws. But the Republic means whoever's elected through a democratic process,
okay,
they have to
that's
be.
That's play on what
now
democracy
is.
That's
now
what
listen
that is. Play on what
okay
democracy
now
was.
I tell you
all
one
right
thing. I'm going to say this.
I vote Michael.
I'm going to define democracy because they give us the ace card.
What did I read? They said proposals. It's still like to petition. And, Joe, we read on the other day, we have a right to petition. We can write a petition to write any law and change any law. Any politician write it, we can put it up on the ballot as the people. That's a fact.
The Occupy group then. They got ran out. They were petitioning. They were trying to get redress for their grievances, and they got beat up and gassed and everything else. So what are you talking about?
You know where that really works? The referendum system in California.
California,
that's why we have all these crazy laws that you guys hear about, because someone organizes and get enough registered voters to put something on the ballot, and it's not an easy thing to do, but that's why we're voting on all kinds of crazy things. But that, no, all kinds of stuff that doesn't get addressed in other parts of the country, that's another reason why California, it's a system that works, and that's another
reason why you register including yourself to vote, you have made a contract, and you have given away rights, title, and interest to whatever it is you thought you had. You register anything, and you no longer have power or rights over it. When you register to vote, a lot of young men don't know, when you go register to vote, you are also agreeing to the draft when they decide to have one.
Yep.
But here's the thing about that, and we talked about this before on the show. It's amazing that only the guys have to do that. The young ladies don't have to do that. You know, so
they're trying
to
get that change
show.
Now. What's his name, Ryan?
Well,
don't
when you turn 18, you have to go to the post office and register anyway, by law.
Say what?
Don't give
when
them
you turn 18, you have to go to the post office and register.
18.
I remember when they put that back. It was right when I became eligible.
It's still there.
Well, that was 33 years ago.
Yeah, they do have a law on the books.
That's 33 and a half years ago, and they didn't have the draft.
18, but when you go and register to vote, you're also agreeing to the draft if they bring one up. That's what
right.
I said.
Exactly.
And I'm surprised they haven't brought one up.
Charlie Rangel was trying his best to do it. They have an economic draft today. All they got to do, send the jobs to China, and then everybody don't have no choice but to sign up.
Right. And Mr. Talk, the writings of Machiavelli, where it becomes so profound, is that those writings are for the political elite, regardless of the government or political system that you run. Political elite. It's
very
not
good point.
For the general public.
Right.
It's not for everybody. Or you can run your small business like
well,
that.
Well, yeah, I was about to say, you know, if anybody wants to be a ruthless son of a bitch.
Right. It's a blueprint.
Yeah.
It's a blueprint.
Let me ask you this. When you're in a world and you're mixing with ruthless individuals, don't you better get to be just as ruthless as them if you expect
That's kind of sticky.
If you want to go to jail, if you don't want to go to jail,
that's not
know.
Kind of sticky. That's kind of well. I've been in those circles around business type folks, where it's a wicked game that's played.
Then you become the same thing. If you agree with it, then I guess that's okay. But if you don't want to become that which you don't agree with, then I don't think you should.
Well, that's the point he's making, is that if you want to get ahead, then you have to. If you're going to keep up with the ruthless bastards, you have to act like them. If you don't want to act like them, then you fall by the wayside.
You know what? That is what happens a lot of times when these guys get elected to Congress. You know, they go in thinking one thing, but being they start hanging out with the ruthless individuals, and they just can't help but start acting like them because they see that they're making money off of that kind of stuff.
There you go.
I mean,
right,
that's just
right.
My opinion.
And then that's where your lobbyists come in and your interest groups and they start flashing the cash and, hey, we need you to do this, we need you to do that, and, you know, here's $30,000, here's $50,000, go take a vacation.
It's systemic. They don't have to be hanging around. If they don't go with the flow, they get taken to Israel and they get told what they better do.
Okay.
No, but it makes sense. Can you imagine somebody new gets elected and they're bringing this up and bringing that up and they're questioning this and they're questioning that and someone pulls them aside and said, let me give you an idea of the way it works around here. You know, we don't make a lot of waves.
Exactly. There's a good a good video on
YouTube
by Kenny, who told the very story where she was in Congress when she was a green, you know, green just coming into Congress, and she said there was a committee hearing on some kind of misconduct that was going on, and boy, the person that was running that committee was basking the person that persons that had done something wrong. And she said after it was all done, it was broadcast on TV, she said to her surprise, they got up, threw their hands around their shoulders and went out of the thing laughing. And she said that's when her eyes woke up, or her eyes were opened.
Yeah.
And she's not there anymore, and she's
still formality.
A perfect example of what we're talking about is Martin Luther King. He was fine until he started talking about the Vietnam War.
Mm-hmm.
That's
so
when it all went
bad.
Right.
I mean, he started talking, as long as he was, you know, oh, he's trying to get the garbage workers, oh, every, you know, you should be judged by the content of your character, not by the color of your skin. All that was fine. That was lovely. When
and
Malcolm
was fine
about,
until he started talking about human rights.
When he started talking about that Vietnam War.
When he started talking about the war and addressing poverty at the same time, those were two... Those were two things that weren't going to change. That war was continuing, was going on. And, right. No, two hot-button issue. Well, they couldn't take a chance of having someone as charismatic as him that,
exactly.
that as determined, someone that's going to persevere. You know,
right.
he went through a lot from 1955 on in order to push his message. And even when it looked insurmountable, who knows what he may have been able to accomplish.
Exactly.
He was galvanizing
the general public. He was bringing people of all colors together. And then when he got on that whole war thing, they were like, "Oh, wait a minute! We got to put it out."
I used to think differently about him when I was younger, and I was more, you know, I thought people like Malcolm spoke more to what was really happening. But when I look at the type of change that Martin Luther King affected, he really was a great man.
Yeah.
He was, but he was coming close to Malcolm's thinking at the end.
Right. And in a true democracy, he should have been able to talk, say anything he wanted to about the war without any repercussions. In a true democracy.
That's right.
Yeah, he really
shouldn't have been any repercussions. He's just talking. Okay,
well,
this
that
is
shows
wrong.
You have
we shouldn't be killing these
freedom.
People. We
you have freedom as long as you don't have an audience. You can say anything you want to as long as you don't have an audience.
Yep, and when you start gaining steam and you start getting people behind you and you getting white people behind you, you got black people behind you, shit, you had white people risking their lives for that civil rights movement, just like black people. Then now you want to start messing with the money. Now you want to start messing with the money.
You don't fuck with
okay?
the money.
Okay, war is money. Don't mess with the money.
Yeah, those defense contractors, they're saying, as long as he's getting people to get together to vote, they can vote Democratic all they want, but they're putting in the same guy, you know, regardless whether it's Democratic or Republican. But when you start fucking around with the General Electric and Boeing and McDonald's,
exactly.
McDonald's,
Douglas, Lockheed.
A lot of people
all of them.
Eat out of that trough.
Right.
And Wu-Tang said it best, Kareem, cash rules everything around me. Those were rappers who said that.
Money and military.
Cash rules everything around me. And that's the world, that's the United States we live in. Money talks. Bullshit walks.
Well, you never said anything plainer than that. I don't think anybody can really say anything against that one.
Dollar bills, y'all.
Yeah.
So, there you go. And the rappers weren't stupid. They knew what was going on, man. That's why they talked about it. Just like you said, Beasley, dollar bill, y'all, cash rules everything around me.
And that album,
that
was a hell of an album. That album dropped. That whole album's good.
Yep.
That rap was the black CNN, wasn't it?
Yeah, that whole album's good. 1994.
Yeah, so that's why I brought up the whole thing in connection with Machiavelli and politics, because that's what he was about, in alluding to a democratic society. yeah, we're given the idea that we live in a democracy, but that theory in actual application is not being practiced.
That's right. Just like they, well, this is kind of off topic, but it's the same kind of thing. Just like they gave us the faulty idea that you have something called equity when you buy a house, which you didn't really buy, because if you read your mortgage, it tells you you have a tenancy agreement, but everybody run around thinking they got equity, but now look what's going on. Everybody upside down.
Exactly.
Well,
exactly.
That's people that made a mistake buying their mortgage.
Well,
or the market.
And then have to make
because the market. Because
the
equity, everybody had equity.
Because
you
can't have
equity.
You can't have equity.
My friend's house got burnt
down in a home.
Last week, 2 weeks ago, his house got burnt down. And he can get more money to be rebuilding the house than he can to just leave it there. I mean, to rebuild the house, he'll get more money than if he want to just sell it. He'll just get less for the house. And
right.
So
and
you
then
said he was upside down?
No, it wasn't upside down.
Because he had equity.
There was one,
he had
equity
in it.
There was one man. There was one man who paid cash for his house and had two mortgage companies coming after him for foreclosure. That was Alan Gray down here in Florida that put that. He was a congressman that told
Alan
that story.
Alan Gray or Alan Grace?
Well, a lot of people do buy foreclosure houses.
Yo, that's right,
Grace. How many years to come back before they can come back and get it?
Yep. And then no matter no matter what state you live in, they can enact the eminent domain law and say, okay, we for public use. I know you've been living here for 20 years and you've been paid it off, but you got to go.
Or the
environmental, the 405 freeway.
You know, you can own your house. It doesn't fucking matter. They control your house. They control the environment around you.
The land. They control the land. You just own the
all properties in the state.
Even if you own your house outright, they have the authority to tax you.
That's it. They can
you don't own
your
house outright. Look in your mortgage. It tells you you have a tenancy agreement.
If you pay your mortgage off,
you own that house.
You own your house.
No, you didn't buy a
house.
You bought a mortgage. Look in your mortgage
papers.
And
pay the mortgage off. Well, if I don't owe anything, if I
pay didn't
pay
any mortgage off because you never had any money, Mr. Beasley. You used Federal Reserve notes.
Let me answer his question.
He said, what if you pay your mortgage off? I'm just trying to answer the question. When you use Federal Reserve notes, the Federal Reserve has a lien on everything you use to exchange those Federal Reserves. The Federal Reserve owns everything. They have liens on anything you use Federal Reserve notes to trade or to purchase anything. It has a lien on it.
The entire world operates on this system. You also believe that a Federal Reserve note is not money.
Federal Reserve. If you owe them, they can put a lien on your house.
That's
not
what I'm
you pay, if you take out a mortgage, a 10-year mortgage on a house, you paid it off after 10 years, you own the fucking house.
You don't own anything because you don't have any money. That's when they took toll away. You can't pay for anything because this is a debt system.
Let's say I have a
$200,000 house. I paid it off. Let's say I sell the house. I get $200,000 in Federal Reserve notes. I exchange those Federal Reserve notes into gold. Now what?
Wait a minute. You exchange the Federal Reserve notes into gold. If you use gold to purchase the home, then yes. Then you have what they call a
loadio
title.
What difference does it make? Let me say it again. I'm not arguing with you. I'm just trying to give you some perspective. The world doesn't work as your strict book interpretations do. Okay.
I'm going by the strict book interpretations of the Federal Reserve, who runs everything.
It's not my interpretation.
It's what the Federal Reserve says.
The strict book interpretations may give you an overview and some understanding that people don't have, but it's not the way things work practically.
Okay. Well, when you get through purchasing your house for $200,000 Federal Reserve notes, stop paying your taxes and see how long you stay in the house.
That's not the point.
It is the point. Don't own anything.
No, it's not. Let me make the point again. All right.
Just all right, Mr. B.
It's real simple. I own a house free and clear. Okay, I paid off all mortgages. I don't have any liens and encumbrances on the house. It's worth $200,000. I sell the house. Okay, I get an escrow check. I get $200,000 worth of Federal Reserve notes. Okay, so I take those Federal Reserve notes and I exchange them, and I go buy gold and silver with them.
You started with the false premise, Mr. Beasley.
Doesn't matter where I started. Look where I ended off. I ended off without Federal Reserve notes, and I have what is considered real money.
But
you
own the house. Only my comment was that you don't own anything. All property is held in the state.
Do I own the gold and silver?
Do
I own the gold and silver?
The state puts a lien on it. The state has a lien on everything. They even collateralize our labor.
You're not listening to what I'm saying. You're not listening to what I'm saying. I sold the house.
I am. You started with a false premise.
But I
you
sold
can't
the
end
house.
Up if you start with a falsehood.
Yes, you can.
The point is that if people thinking that they bought a house and they own a house.
No, they don't.
He bought the house. The house he sold. He got the money. He put the money into gold. The
house
no longer belongs to him. How is that a false premise?
And I have real money.
Oh, but see, his question was about him owning property.
Do I own the gold and silver?
Oh, that's not the question you started with, but if you...
No, it's not a question.
I'm going to answer you.
What's the difference?
Answer you.
You're confusing it. You're confusing it.
Answer you.
It's
just like 1933... If they decide to confiscate your gold, no, damn it, you don't own it.
God, then why
well,
have anything?
Thing.
I can walk around with the bank.
Right
I can
about,
walk around with the potato sack.
Yeah, you're right about that, Ngonya. I mean, overall, we don't own anything because they
said.
Have. Okay, they have the absolute control, but legally.
That's, I was trying to.
Okay, you said it and you made it right. You did it. The thing is that he's right because if you own the house. You sold the house. It's no longer his. He's got the money. He bought the gold. Now, if they want to confiscate it like they did back in 1933, you're absolutely right, because we live under an authoritarian type of government.
You've got to find it, because I'm going to hide it all kind of places. Like
I'll show you where you went wrong
yeah,
on there.
That's true.
Show you where you went wrong on there, Joe.
Good luck.
When you use Federal Reserve notes, okay, to purchase the mortgage because you didn't purchase a house, then you trade you sold that because when you registered with the state, you gave up rights, title, and interest. So you have interest only. You don't have any rights over the property. You have interest, which allows you to resell it. Okay, that's
no,
all
that's
you
not
had.
Okay, you have to have
and,
the rights
and, well,
to the house. You have to lien the deed to the house.
Because
you can live in it.
See,
no one
they have a lien on
it.
Everything.
All right. All right. All right. All right, we're going to have to wrap this up. I see. I'm going to have to schedule a show. I'm going to have to schedule a show called Do You Really Own Your Home?
Do you own your own behind?
But no,
you
supposed to be.
Get on that.
Yeah, but we're going to have to do a show on that.
Nobody owns the goddamn thing. Holding on to the definition.
I'll give you a challenge. Anybody who thought they own a home, just put your mortgage out and read it. It says right in there, you have a tenancy agreement. It says right in your mortgage.
Until you pay it off.
No,
okay.
That's not true.
All right, all right, all right, all right, all right. I say we wrapping this up.
Okay, sorry,
Lord.
Sir.
Oh, boy, I tell you, I love y'all because y'all just keep going and y'all getting, you know, we get in some very interesting conversations here, you know, but it's all right. I love it, and that's what we do here. That's what we do. We done helped somebody somewhere with this conversation today. I don't know who. But I know we didn't help somebody. So, like I always do, you know, we're going to let somebody, let everybody get their last words in. And we're going to start with Mr. Joe. You know, we're going to start with Joe. We usually leave him for last, but we're going to let him talk first.
Yeah, by the way, that reminds me. Yesterday, you thought I dropped off. I didn't drop off. I guess I was on the switchboard.
Okay.
Because I wanted to say something yesterday. But today, I'll just say, short words, that's about it. I don't have anything to say.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir.
Sure.
And, I'll see you tomorrow.
Okay.
All right. Next up is Mr. Beasley. You up, sir? Mr. Beasley, are you there?
He had probably went to another show quickly.
Well, he's still on my switchboard. He must have been taking care of some business. I'll come back to him in a minute. All right, Miss Mays, you up.
Well, when it comes to ownership and this and that, if you don't own it, you're just being mesmerized with what you think you own. So what can we do? Do like Wesley Snipes and not participate? And go to jail? For not paying tax?
Well, interesting.
Or do we follow the law into what we live by as we always live by and doing what we're doing? And thinking we own our homes.
Mm-hmm. Well,
that's all I gotta say.
All right, thank you, Mays. And you know, there are some individuals out there that say there is no law that says we have to pay taxes. But of course, you know, you can try it and see what happened to you. But I haven't seen any signs of anybody who's won that argument in court. So I don't know.
Well, that's the truth, Mr. Talk. There is no law. But I tell you what, if you're using Federal Reserve notes, you're not paying taxes. You're paying a usury fee for using a private foreign currency owned by the Federal Reserve, who puts liens on everything you use to exchange it for.
Oh, all right. See, just that fast. Hold on. Let me get Mr. Knowledge. So, I mean, galactic scientists.
Great show as always, Mr. Talk. I love you guys. It's always good to have lively intellectual banter, and I just wish everybody a wonderful evening, and I'm out.
All right. Thank you, sir. See you tomorrow as well. So let's see if we can get Mr. Beasley back here for one last shot. All right, Mr. Beasley, are you there?
Yeah, I hear what Sister Gonya's saying, and I know she's coming from a good place. I still think she's holding on so tight to the legal definitions. And the reality is, yes, we live in a system that's set up and it's structured, but you won't have anything, but you won't be able to enjoy anything unless you play the game to some extent. You've got to play. You can drop out totally, or you can live on the fringes. But you play the game. We all play the game to some extent. And you're talking to a person who hasn't always chosen to play the game. But there has to be in order to have a I shouldn't even say that. We do what we have to do. I'll say that.
Thank you, Mr. Beasley.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Beasley, and see you tomorrow also, sir. All right, y'all. And, of course, I got to give my co-host her turn in the spotlight. So go ahead, my co-host, Sister Ngoni.
Well, thanks again, everybody, for your contributions, and I enjoyed the show, and I guess that's all I have to say.
All righty. Well, let them know how they can reach you if they want to send you any information or send you any comments.
Okay. I'd be happy to. My email is ngonia@yahoo.com. That's spelled ngonia@yahoo.com. Please put Mr. Talk Show on the subject line. I'd be happy to respond.
All right. Well, thank you. And we want to thank you also for being here today and co-hosting with us, because you do bring a whole different excitement to the show. That's sure. Yeah, two brains are always better than one, I always say. All right, y'all, this is another great show. And as far as my final words, you know, as far as this Machiavelli thing, I think that a lot of our politicians, once they get up into the big world, the big boys with the big boys, there is some practice of the Machiavelli syndrome or principle, you know, a personality, or however you want to say it. You know, as far as Tupac coming back, well, we'll just have to wait and see on that one, okay? You know, I haven't heard anybody recently doing it. Everybody was seeing Elvis. Well, Elvis still ain't showed up, except for the little worms and stuff, so it is what it is. But regardless, you know, it's all good. But you know what? Check this out, though. Tomorrow's show is going to be on Fukushima. I think that'll be an interesting show as well. But until tomorrow, y'all, we really enjoyed y'all. I want to thank everybody on the switchboard that listened in to the show. Everybody came in the chat room, because without y'all, I wouldn't be able to have a show. You know, again, I want to give a shout-out to my co-sister, Ngoni. Yeah, I can do it without you. That's for sure. All right, y'all. Well, we're going to get up out of here. So get ready to roll out. Don't forget tomorrow. Oh, don't forget if you want to leave in the comments or send me any emails, send it to ericletstalk@gmail.com or go to the Facebook page, Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at facebook.com. Or, you know, just the chill out and, you know, just say hello. Whatever. If not, it's cool too. Well, you know, it's all good. You know, sister, you know, I can sit and go on and put another quote, and it goes, "The only thing that comes to a sleeping man is dreams." And of course, that was by Tupac. You know, so something for you to take away with you. All right. So until tomorrow, 2 p.m. Central, 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific, 1 Mountain Time, y'all have a great day. And for me and my co-host, we are out of here. Bye, y'all.
Be weak. I just wanna be strong. Help me lose my soul.